from you, and so thank you for giving me this Tuesday, and please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up next after the CBS News. Take care, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. If it isn't eating your flesh, it's in your blood and goes after your organs. And the scary thing is, the superbug, the germ known as multiple drug-resistant staphylococcus, is a killer of the first order, and there is virtually nothing left in the arsenal that'll kill it. CBS's Barry Bagnato is in Washington.
The cases and deaths linked to MRSA bacteria are much higher than previously believed. According to this study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, the superbug causes more than 94,000 infections and more than 18,600 deaths in the U.S. every year. And more frequently, these antibiotic-resistant infections are springing up outside hospitals and clinics in communities.
Spawned in hospitals where it has built its resistance to the drug, but loose in the neighborhoods, the scientists worry it could become a killing scourge. It already kills more people than AIDS in America. In Virginia, students in 21 schools are getting a lesson in that germ. One student has died of the superbug, and the schools are closed down for a super cleaning.
I don't feel safe at all going back in there.
The school needs to clean up after what happened to prevent this from happening again.
That is the plan. The biggest risk to the economy at the moment is the stumbling housing market and the mortgage mess, says the Treasury Secretary.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The administration is calling for a plan for the government and the financial sector to provide immediate help for homeowners trying to refinance as they stare at the very real prospect of foreclosure when their mortgages jump to much higher rates. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson also called for revising laws and regulations covering mortgage lending to stop the abusive procedures that led to the current crisis.
And today, the National Association of Home Builders says for 8 months in a row now, their index of future home sales is down again. 50 is a good number. It's at 19. China's angry indignance over the awarding of a medal this week to the Dalai Lama is just a distant noise in Washington, where the Dalai Lama met President Bush today. In deference to Chinese sensibilities, however, there were no cameras allowed at the event. White House spokeswoman Dana Perino.
We in no way want to stir the pot and make China feel that we are poking a stick in their eye.
The Dalai Lama isn't concerned about China's reaction. He said that always happens. He is the exiled leader of Buddhists in Tibet and respected the world over, except maybe in official China, as a symbol for peace and brotherhood. In Minden, Nevada, police put Martin Ruiz back in jail right after he was cut loose by the judge on his own recognizance for drunk driving and after promising not to drink again. He was celebrating his freedom by popping open a 12-pack of beer on the front lawn of the Douglas County Courthouse. Thumbing your nose like that at the judge is generally ill-advised. On Wall Street, the Dow was off nearly 72 points today at 13,913. The Nasdaq lost 16, and oil prices closed at $87.61 a barrel, up $1.48. This is CBS News.
An important message for motorists.
Gas is killing me.
You've suffered long enough.
Really hurts when I fill up.
Relief is on the way.
Gas? You can pay a high price. Or just grab a Rolaids Plus Soft Chew and feel better.
Rolaids Plus stops gas with the most effective anti-gas medicine available. Tums can't. Chewy, not chalky. Rolaids Plus stops heartburn and the pain and bloating of gas.
Who can afford gas? Use Rolaids Plus Gas Relief.
Use it directed.
Men, a mighty storm is brewing. Batten down the hatches. Bring in the mainsail. Tighten the hawser and lock down the booty.
Aye, aye, Captain.
It's a mutiny!
Boys, get off your father. Time for dinner.
When you're properly prepared, a big storm can be a rather pleasant experience. Have a Farmers Insurance agent visit your home to assess potential storm risks and help keep property damage to a minimum. Get your free evaluation today. Call 1-800-FARMERS for a Farmers agent near you. Not available in all areas.
Silly String is finally on its way to the troops.
U.S. troops looking for bad guys need Silly String.
You spray it in the doorway. If it falls to the ground, there's no wire.
But if the spray stays...
If it hangs in midair, we know there's a wire.
Could mean the room's booby-trapped, so...
You have to go in and dismantle it.
New Jersey mom Marcel Shriver started a campaign to send Silly String to Iraq.
It's just snowballed.
80,000 cans were collected. She thought she'd send them to her son Todd over there, but...
He cannot store 500 cans of Silly String.
Now a New Jersey company, Capacity LLC, which deals in the shipping of hazardous stuff, will step in and get this to Iraq. No strings attached. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Okay, here's the challenge. You want to get to your neighbor's ninth floor balcony. Too far to jump across, and you only have your underwear on, so what do you do? Now, some folks might put on some pants and walk next door, but a 35-year-old Aussie laid a plank from one balcony to the other, fell, and survived because the garden gazebo below broke his fall. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, I'm a Han Desk, and all modesty aside, I'm pretty tough. I was built that way. Strong, dependable, handsome. I mean, take a gander at my drawers. Pretty sweet, huh? You want to slam them, don't you? Go ahead, slam my drawers. What, is that all you got? Slam my fully extendable drawers like you mean it. Just tell me when you start.
Uh-huh, it's that tough. Han has a full line of durable office furniture, all backed by limited lifetime warranty. Learn more at GetHon.com. GetHon.com. Han, smart now, smarter later.
Here we have the Carrier Infinity 96 gas furnace.
Wow.
It features an AFUE rating of up to 96.6% and 40 to 120,000 BTU-8 capacity.
Great. I have no idea what that means.
You could save up to 33% on heating costs.
Now that I understand.
Carrier, turn to the experts. For a limited time during Cool Cash, get from $50 to $1,200 cash back on qualifying Carrier Infinity systems. Savings compared to previous Carrier models. See participating dealer for details.
Okay. Let's try this. There we go. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. There'll be no more technical difficulties.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show.
We hope.
Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Rock the Nation. Rock the Nation.
In Peter B's America, we do not torture. We do not imprison people without charge or legal remedy. We do not tap phones and emails without court order. And above all, we don't give any president unchecked power. Can you agree with those sentiments? I sure can. And what about the presidential candidates? Can they agree with these terms? That's what we're going to explore in our first half hour today. A great American named Bruce Fine will join us here in just a moment. Also on today's program, Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan. He's an expert on foreign affairs, the Middle East in particular. I've got a whole range of things to talk about with him, including General Sanchez's critical remarks of the war in Iraq and the occupation over the weekend, and also the issues between Syria and Israel, that September 6th attack by Israel on a Syrian site, and also the burgeoning problems with Turkey. That, among other things, we'll discuss with Professor Cole coming up later this hour. Then the mayor of the People's Republic of Berkeley, an old friend of mine, Tom Bates, will join us next hour to talk about a climate change conference that he attended in London recently and some interesting ideas that we might be able to apply on this side of the pond. Jason Leopold, as usual, joins us in our second hour today. We're going to talk about the hearings in the Senate Judiciary Committee that start tomorrow regarding the proposed nomination of Judge Michael Mukasey to the job of Attorney General. Melanie Sloan will join us at the top of the third hour. She's from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And more news about John Doolittle, the troubled Republican congressman from Northern California, from Sacramento, north to the border. We'll get the lowdown on that from Melanie. And also we'll get a brief update in our final hour from Aldis Tyler about the problems holding on to Progressive Talk Radio in San Diego, California. We'll discuss that along the way, too. Your calls and comments are welcome here at any time. You can join the discussion, whether we're interviewing somebody or just taking your phone calls. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. You dial 1, then 38-573-8372. And my personal email, try humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
Bruce Fine served in the Justice Department, where he was a Deputy Attorney General, Associate Deputy AG from 1981 to 82. And then in that Reagan administration, he jumped over to the Federal Communications Commission, where he served as General Counsel. Most recently, he founded the American Freedom Agenda with Bob Barr, the former congressman from Atlanta or Georgia, David Keene, and Richard Viguerie, who is well known as one of the fathers of the conservative movement in this country and a direct mail guru. Bruce Fine, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
For inviting me, I can report last evening we did finally get the American Freedom Agenda Act of 2007 introduced into the House of Representatives by Congressman Ron Paul.
Oh, great. And I noticed in your updated but too brief resume at Wikipedia that you are the counsel to Ron Paul's presidential campaign this year.
Well, it's on electoral matters where there may be problems in getting on the ballot. I've offered to give my services their First Amendment issues that are raised with regard to various thresholds that have to be met to getting on the ballot if you're not a party nominee.
Yeah. Well, I really value what Ron Paul has brought to the debate this year, challenging the Republican orthodoxy with just occasional blurts of the truth. And in particular, on issues related to the freedom agenda, he's batting 1,000 in my book, Bruce Fine.
I won't quarrel with that conclusion.
Just before we get into the Freedom Agenda and this pledge that you have put together, I wanted to ask, and maybe this is outside your role in the Paul campaign, but MSNBC has issued an apology to Ron Paul and many of his supporters because a few weeks back after one of these debates or joint appearances, Ron Paul clearly won the online straw poll that took place. And at a certain point, MSNBC just pulled the whole thing off of their website and tried to make it disappear. And when challenged by Paul supporters, they first said, oh, somebody hacked in and it destroyed the validity of this effort. And then MSNBC, in an about-face, admitted that nobody had hacked in, that this appeared to be just a groundswell of support for Ron Paul. And I don't know if they actually reinstated the results of the poll, but there at least has been an apology. Do you have any comment on that and the way the corporate media has attempted to marginalize Congressman Paul's candidacy?
Well, it's Congressman Paul. Anyone who speaks outside the mainstream orthodoxy is somehow viewed as dubious, and there will be an attempt to manipulate facts or the optics to cast doubt on the bona fides of that support. The media has, I think, a substantial arrogance about what ought to pass as politically correct, and I think this is another instance of that phenomenon.
And with your experience at the Federal Communications Commission, where are you on the latest effort? Chairman Kevin Martin is going to try to relax the ownership rules even more, as if the big corporate controllers of our media don't dominate it enough today.
Well, that's true. The in some sense, I suppose, the media ownership rules are really governed by antitrust laws more than the FCC. And we see with Rupert Murdoch's and others, we have fewer and fewer corporate outlets, but that is in some sense offset by the rise of the Internet. When I was at the FCC, even though, as you point out, there's been an enormous consolidation in radio and television, but compared to the alternate outlets we have today, it was minimal then. I mean, at one time you had three networks and that was it. Mm-hmm. You didn't believe what Walter Cronkite said, you were out of luck. So that is of lesser concern, although certainly the media concentration is something to be worried about. We know that Rupert Murdoch had the Wall Street Journal decide to drop the ads for the rival for his business news network right after he set it up to compete with CNBC.
Yeah. Bruce, let me ask you just one other question that I've been ruminating on, and that is the way these so-called debates, their joint appearances by the candidates where the equal time rule is not applied, And so Ron Paul, for example, Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel on the Democratic side, they have to elbow their way in past the moderator to get just a moment or two to express themselves, while the presumed leaders are given much more time and much more deference. They're permitted to interrupt, and Rudy Giuliani has used that rather abrasively. And my take on it is that they are intentionally using their cable channels, which are not regulated by the Communications Act of 1934, to originate these debates so that they are not really required to be balanced in, you know, the rough amount of time each candidate gets. And as a result, the sound bites that arise from these joint appearances go on to the broadcast channels that are regulated. But, you know, it's a very skewed approach where Ron Paul only gets on if Rudy Giuliani picks a fight with him.
I know. Well, the whole system of regulating communications is very flukish because it typically depends upon whether you're using the air over the air. Using satellite or using cable, and over the air is the most heavily regulated. It's like you can't use a four-letter word if it's over the air, but on cable and satellite you can say whatever you want. That's why Howard Stern is there.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't any rhyme or reason for this other than just historical legacy, but you have pointed out, I think, an important element here about the campaign, that by moving off of the over-the-air transmissions, you're enabling the media then to skewer to themselves, self-select or vet the candidates in advance of the people making that selection, and to that degree they exert an enormous amount of influence.
Yeah, the most recent Democratic GabFest at Dartmouth, it was a debate between Tim Russert and Hillary Clinton, with the other candidates occasionally permitted to chime in.
Yes. Yeah, you're exactly right, and it shows that the media, especially with the, you know, the campaign reform laws always omit the media as subject to regulation, in part because there's First Amendment concerns, but of course that same is true with regard to people wanting to contribute or expend money on behalf of political campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think you're underscoring how enormously influential the media is in ruling out candidates in advance of the people themselves deciding
right.
what ideas they want to hear and what to be promoted.
Well, Bruce Fein, thanks for indulging me on those. Those are not the central reasons why I asked you on the program today. I'm in full support of your American Freedom Campaign and the pledge. I led the hour with it, and I'm going to read it again. We are Americans. In our America, we do not torture. We do not imprison people without charge or legal remedy. We do not tap people's phones and emails without court order. And above all, we do not give any president unchecked power. I pledge to fight to protect and defend the Constitution from attack by any president. Now, you have asked each of the 9 Republicans and the 8 or 9 Democrats running to take this pledge, and to their credit, Barack Obama, Senator Dodd, Congressman Kucinich, Governor Richardson, and Senator Mike Gravel have all signed on. But Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and John Edwards, are they silent on the issue, or do they dodge it?
Well, I think there's been a little, I have to make a correction. You had read, I think, a companion pledge. The American Freedom Agenda pledge is a little bit different and more specific. It calls,
okay.
for example, for the candidates to renounce presidential signing statements, kidnapping, renditions, and torture abroad, warrantless surveillance that violates FISA, holding U.S. citizens as enemy combatants, running military commissions. It's very specific, and it's not exactly what you've recited, and far more
okay.
specific. And I think more important pledge has been signed only by Ron Paul, because it does seem to us that we don't want any vagueness or ambiguities. We want specific abuses that have been practiced by President Bush renounced. And what's very worrisome is a presidential candidate who will not say, I won't issue signing statements where I approve of a bill but only enforce the parts that I want.
Yeah.
A president who will not say, no, I'm not going to use military commissions to play judge, jury, and prosecutor. No, I'm not going to kidnap people, throw them in prison abroad, and torture them. Someone who will say, no, I'm not going to look at a law and say I don't like it. I'll just spy on you however I wish. Those candidates, in my judgment, are not suited for the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Their obligation is to faithfully uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. If they can't take that pledge, they don't understand the Constitution.
And Bruce Fein, where can people, do you have a website where people can read your materials?
Yes, www.freedomagenda.com. AmericanFreedomAgenda.org.
.org. Great.
And there will be the signing statement is presented there.
I'm going to pull it up during the break. We'll talk about it more as we continue. Bruce Fine is our guest. If you have a question or comment, give us a call now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
On October 20th and 21st at the Monterey County Fairgrounds, the Monterey Music Summit, an environmentally and politically progressive interactive arts festival featuring Spearhead. Michael Parente and Spearhead, The Roots, G Love and Special Sauce, Cake, Ozo Mutley, Randy Carlyle, and more. Over 25 performances on three stages, offering everything from regional favorites to international icons of pop, rock, folk, and world music. Tickets are on sale now at MontereyMusicSummit.com.
Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger.
And he-
he's a bad president because he has trashed the Constitution. That's my opinion. And Bruce Fine is a constitutional scholar, a conservative American who is fighting to roll back the excesses of the Bush administration. And Bruce, thanks for correcting me, because what I didn't realize is that there's a liberal group called American Freedom Campaign, and your group is called American Freedom Agenda. Is there a copyright case there?
I don't know about that, but all the allies that are standing together as true Americans who understand the philosophy of the Constitution and the Declaration should remain united.
Well, and on the Lib side, American Freedom Campaign, their lead item right now is Ron Paul introduces the American Freedom Agenda Act of 2007. So if there's competition, it's friendly.
Yes.
Yes. And you have at AmericanFreedomAgenda.org a 10-point program, and we don't have time to go through every one of them, but I just want to tell you that I really appreciate the work you've done, the courage you've shown, the time you've invested in talking to me and Tom Hartman and a lot of other people who aren't necessarily in political sync with you on all issues. But you're right, we all care about the Constitution, and we're all quite concerned about what has happened during this administration and what we are hearing from some of the leading presidential candidates, which is that they are not willing to explicitly renounce the signing statements, the wiretapping, and some of these other egregious invasions of our constitutional rights.
Yes, and there's a suspicion that they covet those powers for themselves. We have never witnessed a president, and not just the United States, but elsewhere, executive official who comes into power and voluntarily surrenders authority back to another branch. And if these individuals are not at present making statements distancing themselves from these arrogations and usurpations, and it's not very difficult to say, I won't make a signing statement where I refuse to enforce the law I sign. It can fit in a sound bite, and you're distancing yourself from an unpopular president. Not from some icon. So you ask, well, why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah.
They've got plenty of time. It's a long campaign season. This is one of the most publicized abuses. I served as a member of the American Bar Association Task Force on this issue. A reporter, Charlie Savage, a friend of mine, got a Pulitzer, so it's not something that you got to do archaeology in order to discover.
Yeah.
Well, why is there just enormous silence out there? How about holding American citizens as enemy combatants without charge forever at Guantanamo Bay? Something that ought to frighten any U.S. citizen to think a president can come pluck you out of your home and say you're an enemy combatant, go down in Guantanamo Bay, you have no lawyer, and we're holding you based on secret evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And this silence, again, is very ominous because it suggests either they think these are small issues, which obviously is not the case, or they think, gee, it'll make me look tough on terrorism, I don't want to give up these kinds of powers. And that's why this issue that we flagged here is not just a Bush-Cheney issue.
Yeah.
It seems to me, unless there's actually a congressional or public consensus that these powers must be handed back to the legitimate institutions for checks and balances, we will soon have government by executive branch edict.
And it's
government that will be secret, unknown to us. Everything will be national security.
It's a Pelosi-Reid issue, too. I am so insulted that they keep saying that there is no room for impeachment in the current situation. And as you and I have discussed before, I believe that this is a very important check on the abuses that this administration has brought on. And I am just flummoxed and angry that the Democrats are so dismissive, as if it's optional.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. They say, well, it would be a distraction. I mean, a distraction to enforce the Constitution? I mean, nothing will be worth anything if the Constitution crumbles and we no longer have checks, we no longer have vetting. The fact is, no branch of government is infallible. The reason why we have checks is it's the scientific method for getting it right.
Yeah.
And this administration shows when you don't have checks, you believe Ahmed Chalabi is James Madison and George Washington, and you get it really bad.
Let's get a quick comment from Pat in Sacramento. Go ahead,
right.
Pat, you're on the air.
Well, I'm going to try and make this as fast as I can. To me, the Second Amendment was a terribly important part of our Bill of Rights, and in all the state constitutions, by the way, with their Bill of Rights. When we lost that, we started this whole thing, in my opinion.
When did we lose the Second Amendment, Pat?
When you said you no longer had a right to defend yourself, and many, many states have done that, not Colorado, not Wyoming, not Montana, but California has.
Are you talking about assault weapon bans?
I'm talking about the right to self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to hear his opinion.
Okay, Bruce, a quick reaction.
Well, the fact is we have a case now pending in the United States Supreme Court that is questioning whether the Second Amendment has an individual right that does limit gun control laws. In fact, the Court of Appeals out here, I think, are now echoing the general scholarly consensus, says there is an individual right.
Bruce, I'm sorry, I'm out of time. I've got to stop there, but we will talk again. I want people to visit AmericanFreedomAgenda.org. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Tree Classics, the world's finest artificial Christmas trees. Visit treeclassics.com. And by Radio Shack, with their mix of products, accessories, and helpful advice. At Radio Shack, you don't just buy stuff, you do stuff. I'm Charles Osgood. At 1 second past midnight on January 1st, 1946, Kathy Casey Kersling was born, making her the first baby boomer, the first of nearly 80 million. Yesterday, the retired schoolteacher applied for Social Security retirement benefits.
Ladies and gentlemen, America's first baby boomer and most recent retiree, Kathy Casey Kersling. Congratulations.
About her and the avalanche to follow after this. This Christmas, decorate your home with the world's finest artificial Christmas trees from TreeClassics.com. With more than 76 styles, all backed by their 10-year tree and 5-year light warranty, TreeClassics.com is the place to visit for a hassle-free holiday. Buy factory direct and save 40 to 60% with free delivery. Celebrate TreeClassics.com's 12th year on the web. Type in CO22 for an additional 10% discount when checking out. TreeClassics.com, their price and quality cannot be beat. With the holidays fast approaching, before you head over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house or wherever you're going, stop into your neighborhood Radio Shack and check out the Mio Ultra Thin GPS. It comes preloaded with tons of maps and points of interest, and its super slim design and large 4.3-inch LCD screen are usually reserved for the higher-priced models. Only Radio Shack has it, so make your grandma proud and visit your neighborhood Radio Shack today, where you don't just buy stuff, you do stuff. Baby boomer number one, Kathy Casey Kersling, decided to take her Social Security retirement benefits at age 62.
I think I'm just lucky to be at the top of the boom and really blessed to be able to take my Social Security now.
Because the avalanche of baby boomers will overwhelm the current system, although Social Security Commissioner Michael Astru says,
I think that during my term as commissioner, I believe that Congress will step up to the plate and there'll be bipartisan legislation to strengthen Social Security.
They better.
I think I and most people who are really familiar with the situation are confident that there'll be some pain along the way, but we'll get there and Social Security will be there for future generations.
So far, despite President Bush's efforts, Congress still sees Social Security as the third rail politically. Touch it and you die. Newly retired baby boomer, Kathy Casey Kersling.
The need is there to work on it and to fix it, and I do think they will come up with a solution.
Ms. Kersling will get less money because she is retiring at 62, but she has her teacher's retirement plan and IRAs to make up for that. Commissioner Astru says the system won't run out of money next week anyway.
In terms of the financing of the system overall, there's no reason to have any immediate panic. Retirement benefits right now, the funds are solvent through 2041.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Live.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
They can't recite them.
You know, it's time.
Just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. No, never ever gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. No, never ever gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. It's time, it's time to go home.
Joining me now is Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan, an expert on the Middle East and a guy who manages to update on a daily basis a powerful website and blog at JuanCole.com, JuanCole, JuanCole.com. Professor, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Much, Peter.
Nice to talk with you again.
Likewise.
And I want to let you know that in the meantime, since the last time we spoke, my stepson David has enrolled at the University of Michigan.
Well, and a wise choice.
Well, the nice part is it's a full ride in the engineering department, and as one of the check writers, I'm very happy about that.
That is excellent.
Yes, it is. Well, I'm glad to talk with you again, and as I mentioned, you do excellent work on your website. There's a lot of great information here. We're going to touch on some of it over the course of this half hour. I wanted to start off with the weekend reporting of the remarks of Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez. He was forced into retirement and kind of blamed for Abu Ghraib and some of the other problems with the occupation of Iraq. And he is on his way out, and he is not holding back. He was bitterly critical, referring to the situation as a nightmare with no end in sight, that the Bush administration had a catastrophically flawed, unrealistically optimistic war plan, denounced the current addition of American forces, the so-called surge, as a desperate move that will not achieve long-term stability. Now, for many of us who've been critical of this war, these are not surprising sentiments, but coming from General Sanchez, they pack kind of a wallop, don't they?
They certainly did. The wallop was a little bit reduced because he doesn't seem to understand how our information system works. He should have given that speech on late on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would have been front page news Monday morning. And as it was, it kind of got buried on Saturday, and then on Sunday, all of the pro-war people were all over the news shows impugning his integrity and sort of making light of his comments. So it was you never want to release important information or do an important speech on a Friday afternoon in Washington.
Right.
That's just not how it works.
Sure, that's when you do a document dump of embarrassing information.
Exactly.
Yeah, the only slower, you know, news day is like Christmas Eve. and that's when absolutely nothing gets noticed. Will this have any impact in your view?
Well, I think it puts pressure on the Bush administration in the sense that the more former high-ranking officials and generals come out and say publicly that this is a quagmire, it's an imbroglio, that it's been poorly handled, the more pressure there is on the administration to try to clean it up. I mean, this is an administration that just fiddled literally while New Orleans went down, and it's been fiddling all these years while Iraq's going down, and We have a president that doesn't seem to be able to make a decision or set any forces in motion except when it's destructive.
But as they fiddle, to mangle your metaphor, the Democrats seem to be dancing, and to the tune, you know, picked by the administration. I am still floored by the way they let the Petraeus Crocker so-called report, which was not even delivered under oath, to really permit them to be buffaloed further into more money for the occupation, no real hardline deadlines for withdrawal or any other real limitations imposed on the administration. I mean, the best we've heard are some trial balloons from David Obey about a war tax and that he's not willing to write a check for the whole $190 billion at one time. But we're not hearing the Democrats talk about obstructionist tactics, about you know, using any means necessary. They seem to be just getting along and going along, and they seem to have this cynical hope that by not challenging the Republicans at this point, that next year the electorate will simply turn to the Democrats almost exclusively.
Well, it certainly is a calculation. I think what the calculation is that they've got really only two choices. One is to mount symbolic challenges to the Republicans on the war, so keep forcing the Republicans to vote for the war, which they're doing. We don't hear news about it so much, but there have been a number of such initiatives, and they'll use it in the fall of 08 against the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
But the other choice would be, as you say, to obstruct things. And, you know, Newt Gingrich did that domestically in the 90s, and it didn't work out well for the Republicans. The public didn't like it, and Clinton became more popular.
But Professor, in this case, we have a poll that shows that over 70% of the American people don't believe Congress should give Bush $190 billion. So, you know, what I'm describing is not necessarily shutting down the government, but putting Bush on an allowance and saying, okay, you know, we'll give you $10 billion a month, and we want it to decline over time as we want American troop presence to decline.
Well, I don't disagree with your premise. I'm just trying to explain why I think they're acting as they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're afraid that if the Republicans can paint them as obstructionist and as endangering U.S. security, endangering the lives of the troops, that it'll backfire on them. They're being very cautious. They were, after all, in the wilderness for 12 years, and a lot of them think that they've got a striking chance of getting both elected branches of government back in a big way in 08, having a political earthquake. And I think they're just really nervous about overplaying their hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think they're being too cautious. I think they're being too cautious, but I think this is what we're seeing.
Yeah. Professor Juan Cole is with us from the University of Michigan. At his website, juancole.com, he brings us a lot of the information that gets squeezed into, you know, little one-inch stories if they're covered at all. But just a quick rundown on the civil war violence in Iraq yesterday. A suicide car bomb killed 4 people, wounded 25 in the Al-Harthiya district in western Baghdad. Near Balad, a car bomb killed 6 members of a tribal police unit aligned with the U.S. military. In Ramadi, they found 3 dead bodies with gunshot wounds, signs of torture. Kirkuk, a roadside bomb, wounded 4 people. Mosul, police said they found 2 bodies shot and bound in the northern city of Mosul. And you add that McClatchy has a report of 5 bodies found in Baghdad on Monday, and the guerrillas killed 3 employees of a newspaper in the Sunni Arab Salahuddin province. Now, this is against the backdrop of the Marines offering to swap with the Army. Marines go to Afghanistan, and the Bush administration saying that violence has been reduced. Just yesterday, they are floating this report that contradicts what they were saying just 3 weeks ago, that Al-Qaeda has been dealt serious setbacks and is, you know, not in the form or the level of threat that it was even 3 months ago. It's dizzying when you compare the reports that you have of real violence with the rosy spin that we're getting out of Washington.
Yes, I mean, this has been the case for the last few years, however. I just see a different reality in Iraq than the American media and political class have seen, and this has been true since 2003. I was saying there was a guerrilla war growing in Iraq already in late May and June of 2003, and Donald Rumsfeld was coming out and saying, I don't say there's a guerrilla war because there isn't one.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he'd looked it up in the dictionary, what it was, and it wasn't didn't exist in Iraq, and all this kind of thing.
Well, they have special dictionaries,
and, you know,
don't
Cheney they? Cheney told us they were in the last throes, and I mean, it just seems impossible in Washington to escape this Panglossian optimism about Iraq.
Yeah. And they have their own special dictionary, don't they? For example, torture has been redefined to the point that the president can flatly declare, with an apparent straight face, that this country doesn't torture people when the facts overwhelmingly contradict that statement.
Well, because they define out stress positions, hooding, waterboarding, all of the things that they do, they just define them as not torture, although the international standards would include a lot of them in the standards for torture.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they have their own dictionary. I mean, this report about al-Qaeda declining is an example of, I mean, it's a fantasy land that you keep being presented by these people, and I don't know why the public and the press keeps falling for it.
Well, and Professor,
there isn't really any al-Qaeda in Iraq. I mean, does anybody there have Bin Laden's phone number?
And, Professor, the Petraeus Crocker report was riddled. Every reference to any enemy was al-Qaeda. And now they're telling us they've dealt it serious, severe blows, and that it may even permit us to pull some troops out. I mean, this is a whipsaw game that they're playing with the American public.
Well, Peter, I have to tell you that I was very tempted to blog today that al-Qaeda in Iraq has been definitively defeated. And just to write a long essay on how it's been defeated, there's no more enemy in Iraq, and we can bring the troops home. And just to play into the spin that's being given in Washington. I mean, if that's the case,
then
Dick Cheney's constant fear-mongering about al-Qaeda becoming based in Iraq, a largely Shiite and Kurdish country that would not allow that, by the way, but if it's true that they're being defeated, then there's no longer any rationale for us being there, is there?
No.
Well, I think we should welcome this news from Washington that they think they have defeated al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Professor Cole, I learned this week that Deborah Kagan, who is described as a bristling Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, has been touring the lesser capitals of the world, including Moldova and a few other places, Kazakhstan and the Ukraine, trolling for more troops for the coalition of the Willing. And we heard about the surge last week that the Russian Republic of Georgia has agreed to almost triple its boots on the ground from 850 to, I think, around 2,000. What's going on here? We know the British are leaving, and there's very little left of the alleged coalition that was cobbled together before the U.S. Unilateral invasion. Does this have any meaning? Why? And what are we paying these nations to send soldiers into our mess in Iraq?
Well, we're using a bribe of foreign aid of various sorts to get most of them aboard. With regard to with Poland, for instance, we've been giving them a lot of money for their troops to stay in Diwania.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more of the same. If a country like Georgia wants to get out from under Russia's thumb and is poor and needs some help, then stationing a couple thousand guys in Iraq seems to their politicians like a good deal if they get all that out of it. But the thing is, the guerrillas are savvy about this, and they'll just start hitting them hard, as they've been hitting the polls recently.
Yeah.
These governments do have publics, and the public opinion turns against them.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened in a big way in Poland. It's happened in the UK and so forth.
Started in Spain.
So I just
don't
think it's a likely long-term solution to anything that you're going to be able to recruit enduring numbers of foreign troops for Iraq.
And if this Kagan gal is in Kazakhstan, I hope that they'll send Borat to the front. We're going to take a break and return with Professor Juan Cole. Go to his website, juancole.com. Got a caller who wants to ask about Turkey, and I want to ask about Syria and Israel.
That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Do you remember UFOs over Monterey Bay? Was it all just a dream? Visit those memories with us this Saturday morning at 11 a.m. on 540 KRXA. Hear eyewitnesses. Take back our power. Get truth and knowledge. Step up to the plate. Take your best shot this Saturday at 11 a.m. Tell us your UFO experiences. Being abducted? Strange things happening? Missing time? Liberate these memories this Saturday. Be bold. Fill in the pieces of one of the strangest puzzles of our time. Together, your chance to blow this phenomenon out of the water with strange encounters of the second time, UFOs over Monterey Bay, second edition. New speakers, new stories, new answers. Your host for UFOs over Monterey Bay, Bob Oliver, 11 a.m. this Saturday on your Progressive Radio Channel 540 KRXA.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan.
It's okay to kill in the name of the Lord. It's okay. It's what God made this great country for. It's okay to kill in the name of the Lord. La 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 la.
Some social commentary put to music from Christopher Fee of Providence, Rhode Island. We're talking with Professor Juan Cole here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And tell me what your current thoughts are about the U.S. posture toward Iran, fueled by the Senate resolution that Senator Clinton voted for and got a lot of criticism, which labels the Quds Force as a terrorist group and the Revolutionary Guard, which is a very unusual move. And many people argue that that is a backdoor way of authorizing a military strike on Iran.
Well, the whole thing is odd. First of all, what's special about the Quds Force is just the Revolutionary Guards. Why not just say, and the Revolutionary Guards are themselves just part of the Iranian military. So, I mean, you're designating troops of the Iranian military as terrorists.
So the Navy SEALs as an equivalent.
Yeah, I mean, it would be as though Iran declared that Navy SEALs are terrorists.
Right.
And indeed, I believe the Iranian parliament has passed such a resolution.
Well, about the CIA. They claim the CIA is a terrorist organization.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. That's right. So the point being is that this kind of thing will backfire on the United States. I mean, there's a reason for which terrorism is defined as it is, which is that it's violence against civilians by non-state actors.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you start defining enemy troops as terrorists, then the enemy will define your troops as terrorists.
Neener.
We'll end up with U.S. troops being tortured over this,
right.
or executed. I mean, mm-hmm. It's bad for our troops.
Now, Clinton is trying some jujitsu by co-signing a Jim Webb measure that explicitly says congressional approval is required before we launch a military assault on Iran. Does that work for you?
Well, I think that Clinton was wrong to sign the Kyle Lieberman resolution. I think it is a backdoor to the Bush administration doing whatever it likes in the mm-hmm. Iranian theater, because the original resolution that Senator Clinton signed in 2002 allows Bush to take immediate action against terrorist threats. So
right.
if you define the Iranian military as a terrorist threat, then you're authorizing war.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's been slammed for this by Barack Obama and by others, and she's trying to repair the damage, but she shouldn't have signed that. It was poor judgment on her part.
JuanCole.com has a post from October 15 that is a piece written by Ray Close, who you identify as a retired CIA analyst on Arab affairs. And we've raised many questions about the aerial attack by Israel on a facility in Syria that took place on September 6th of this year. And one of our contributors, Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com, based on sourced and identified individuals, many in England, has heard or has reported that the actual strike was on a North Korean Nodong missile, and that there had been an incident or an accident sometime prior to September the 6th as they were attempting to put some sort of a chemical or biological weapon payload on this North Korean missile. And this suggests that the story that we're hearing, sourced to Israeli intelligence but with a big hush factor here in the U.S., is that it was a nuclear-related facility, and that this is something that the U.S. had counseled Israel not to do. What is your take on the truth about why Israel struck Syria and exactly what it was?
Well, we don't know what it was, and there hasn't been any independent inspection of the site, so it's very difficult to know what it was. Frankly, the idea that Syria has nuclear capability is laughable. I mean, this is a poor country of 19 million. It's being strained to the hilt by 1.4 million Iraqi refugees. It lost its superpower patron when the Soviet Union collapsed. There's no wherewithal there for Syria to develop very, very expensive high-tech weapons. It's got a few chemical weapons, run-of-the-mill sorts of things like mustard gas and so forth. But, mm-hmm. The building Syria up as a weapons of mass destruction threat and a nuclear threat is frankly just fantastic. And I don't know what exactly is going on, but my suspicion is that the Israelis were, essentially defeated by the Hezbollah insofar as they couldn't attain their war goals last summer.
Right, summer of 06.
Mm-hmm. Summer of 06, and that they've been spoiling to reassert themselves in the region ever since. And I presume that some dodgy source told the Israelis some tall tale about what was going on at this facility, and that they therefore decided to make a show of force.
So they have their own curveball, huh?
Yeah, I think it's a curveball kind of thing.
Roger.
I mean, they were saying at one point that there was evidence of highly enriched uranium or even plutonium at that site. Well, you can't get that until the end of the process.
Right.
You can't get it when you first begin.
Yeah.
And so it made the whole thing
the story that's being reported in the New York Times from Israeli sources,
mm-hmm.
just makes no sense.
Right.
So I think it's probably just a snafu.
Roger in Cape, I just got 20 seconds. Sorry, go ahead, sir.
Okay, I think that the fact that the Turkeys threaten to obstruct our logistics going into Iraq right now over this issue with Kurds
mm-hmm.
is the greater issue, because it means that we have to take by force our logistics. We can't allow our major armies to be isolated.
And right-wingers suggest that the Democrats are doing this on purpose to stop materiel coming into Iraq. Professor, in 10 seconds or 15?
Well, I don't think that's why the Democrats are doing it, but it is certainly the case that Turkey's relationship with the United States is in deep danger because the U.S. is backing the Kurds, and the Kurds are harboring terrorists who are hitting Turkey.
Professor Juan Cole at juancole.com, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Rising deaths from drug-resistant bacteria.
Superbug danger is greater than believed.
18,650 deaths, 1 year alone.
I'm Barry Bagnuto in Washington.
The Treasury Secretary warns,
the longer housing prices remain stagnant or fall, the greater the penalty to our future economic growth.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. 21 schools in Bedford, Virginia have been closed to be disinfected. Yesterday, a 17-year-old senior at Staunton River High School died of a staph infection that didn't respond to the strongest antibiotics. Such tragedies are no longer unusual. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports on the latest findings.
Antibiotic-resistant superbugs are more widespread than previously believed.
Over 94,000 infections and about 18,650 deaths in 1 year alone.
Dr. Monina Clevens of the Centers for Disease Control.
The majority of these infections were healthcare associated.
But her study in the Journal of the American Medical Association warns a growing number are springing up outside hospitals. A journal editorial calls these findings astounding. A second study reports the discovery of a new strain of bacteria that causes common children's ear infections. It's unaffected by antibiotics or a new vaccine designed to thwart superbugs. Barry Bagnuto, CBS News, Washington.
One public health expert says drug-resistant bacteria might now be killing more Americans than the AIDS virus. Now this.
The raindrops keep falling on my head, but that
when's the last time you replaced your wiper blades? Get ready in advance. Right now, all wiper blades are 25% off.
Never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free.
And as always, Advance Auto Parts will install them fast and free. Yeah, free. We're ready in advance.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
The price of oil took another big leap today, up $1.50 to $87.61 a barrel.
For now, the consumer will bend but not break under $90 or even $100 crude oil, but we'll have to see how long that'll last.
Analyst John Kilduff predicts triple-digit prices by the end of the year, but Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson has a bigger worry.
Let me be clear. Despite strong economic fundamentals, The housing decline is still unfolding, and I view it as the most significant current risk to our economy.
Speaking today at Georgetown University, Paulson said the government should help homeowners avoid foreclosures, but should not do anything that encourages investors to make risky decisions. The AFL-CIO did a survey that found a lot of homeowners in trouble.
Not only were one out of four of consumers actually already late on their adjustable rate mortgage loans, but the majority of them didn't know where to turn for help.
Leslie Tolf says homeowners don't have a good handle on their adjustable mortgage. Many can't say when it will reset or what their new payment might be. At the National Association of Home Builders, economist Bernie Markstein says they expect further decline into the first half of next year.
Really what we're waiting for is for buyers to regain some confidence, the consumer to feel a little bit better about the housing market and come back into the housing market.
Reportedly, the U.S. military drawdown in Iraq will begin in December. The Associated Press says an army brigade scheduled to go home will not be replaced, reducing the number of combat brigades in Iraq from 20 to 19. As U.S. troops are spread thinner, Iraqi units are expected to step up. Consumer Reports is out with its latest auto reliability survey, and the big news is Toyota no longer leading the pack.
They have dropped down. They used to be right in the top one or two brands, but they've now dropped below Subaru, below Scion, below Honda and Acura.
Scion is a Toyota make, but CR's John Linkoff says some of the company's other products aren't faring so well.
Consumers have had problems with the Toyota Camry V6 with the automatic transmission being the sticking point, as well as problems with the new Toyota Tundra V8 four-wheel drive model and the Lexus GS V8 all-wheel drive.
Among the Detroit automakers, Ford is the big success story. Consumer Reports says 93% of its vehicles scored average or better. The Ford Fusion and Mercury Milan are among the most reliable cars overall. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
An important message for motorists.
Gas is killing me.
You've suffered long enough.
Really hurts when I fill up.
Relief is on the way.
Gas? You can pay a high price. Or just grab a Rolaids Plus Soft Chew and feel better.
Rolaids Plus stops gas with the most effective anti-gas medicine available. Tums can't. Chewy, not chalky. Rolaids Plus stops heartburn and the pain and bloating of gas.
Who can afford gas? Use Rolaids Plus Gas Relief.
Use it directed.
A mighty storm is brewing. Batten down the hatches. Bring in the mainsail. Tighten the hawser and lock down the booty.
Aye, aye, Captain. Sail!
Arr, it's a mutiny.
Boys, get off your father. Time for dinner.
When you're properly prepared, a big storm can be a rather pleasant experience. Have a Farmers Insurance agent visit your home to assess potential storm risks and help keep property damage to a minimum. Get your free evaluation today. Call 1-800-FARMERS for a Farmers agent near you. Not available in all areas.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And we hope to be your antidote for conservative talk radio. Please apply liberally. And let me know if it causes a rash. Coming up later this hour, our weekly visit with the intrepid investigative journalist Jason Leopold from truthout.org. We're going to talk about the hearings in Washington that start tomorrow for the confirmation of a new attorney general. Joining me now is the mayor of Berkeley, California, Tom Bates, who served in the California Assembly for 30 years, was it, Tom?
Yeah, 20 years, Peter. Nice to be on your show.
Well, it's great to talk with you again, and I'll never forget the little trip you made with me in Sacramento one day over to a meeting at the Department of Corrections headquarters.
That's right. Luckily, they didn't arrest both of us and throw us in.
Well, that's right, and I've told the story that I have been a visitor to San Quentin over 100 times, but they have never invited me to spend the night, Tom. So I'm glad you were able to help me preserve that record.
Right.
Well, I invited you today to talk about your recent trip to London. You didn't just go to visit Westminster Abbey and all of the tourist sites, but you went with a group of mayors, including Sacramento's mayor, Heather Fargo. We're on the air in Sacramento, to observe some of the projects that have been developed in Great Britain to address global warming and try to reduce the carbon and other emissions that contribute to it. Tell us a little bit about how this was organized and, just how you rated the event. Then we'll talk about some of the ideas that you saw in action.
Sure. Well, Peter, what happened was the British Consul General actually has a person in San Francisco who's actually a science and climate advisor to the consulate, and directly related back to the Foreign Service, the Director of Foreign Service. And they were actually here with a person who was from London, the guy by the name of Alan Jones, who was like the guru of change in London, and also in a little town called Woking, which is approximately the same size as Berkeley. So he was telling us about all these cool things that we're doing. And so, out of the discussions that came about with a group of mayors in Alameda County in Oakland, we ended up saying, well, maybe we should, get a group of mayors together and go to London and see firsthand some of these innovations that you're doing. And they thought that was a great idea and actually contacted me to put together a delegation, and I basically said I would be happy to help, but I really needed like the mayor of Seattle, Greg Nickels, who's a much higher profile and much bigger city than Berkeley. Berkeley's like 110,000, even though we have an international reputation.
Right.
We're relatively small in size, big in ideas.
Well, and you have a foreign policy too.
We definitely have a foreign policy. If you don't have a foreign policy, you could. We also try to take care of the nuts and bolts, like the potholes in the streets too. Try to do a little of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. So they said, sure, that's a great idea. So Greg got on board, and I and the mayor of Sacramento, as you mentioned, Heather Fargo, and the mayor of Palo Alto, and the mayor of Tucson, Arizona, the five of us went. And then my wife, Lonnie Hancock, who is an assemblywoman in the
right.
California State Assembly, chairs the Committee on Natural Resources. Lonnie went, too.
Mm-hmm.
So she was not part of the official delegation, but she accompanied me and was an invaluable in her input into the project.
Well, you two are a great team, and you didn't actually succeed one another. Well, you succeeded her as mayor, and there was an intermediary between your tenure in the assembly and Lonnie Hancock moving there, right?
Well, what happened, of course, as you mentioned, I was an Alameda County supervisor, and then I was elected to the state assembly. I thought I'd be there for a few years and ended up staying for 20 years and was actually termed out of office. And then I was out of office for like 6 years, and Lonnie was a mayor of Berkeley while I was in the assembly, and she went to work for the Clinton administration. And then when that ended, she decided that she would, there was an opportunity because of term limits,
right.
An opening occurred in my old seat, and so she decided she'd like to run for that, and she ran and was successful. And then I thought, well, my goodness, I might as well go back into public service, too, as long as she's doing it. Elected public service, so I ran and was successful in unseating a two-term incumbent here in Berkeley. And so we both went back. And so people have a lot of fun about saying, oh, you just switched jobs, you just traded jobs. Well, we did, but it was a six-year period
right.
between
it. Yeah, interesting.
But it's interesting, I'm lucky when I was in office in the assembly to have somebody who was on the ground talking about, well, this is where the rubber meets the road.
Right.
And now I find myself in the same situation talking about what kind of great legislation Lonnie can carry to cover the problem.
Well, the pillow talk must be fascinating, Tom.
Yeah, well, it's worked out well.
Yeah.
We're lucky. We've been married for over 20 years. It's actually coming on our 21st wedding anniversary pretty soon.
Oh, great. Now, Tom Bates, tell us about one of the big issues in London. Is congestion pricing. And Mayor Bloomberg in New York had floated the idea. It appears to be dead for now. But in essence, the center city of London is now pricey for private cars.
It is.
If you want to drive in, I think it's about 8 pounds a day.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
8 pounds, that translates at over $2 to a pound.
Yeah.
So like I think it's roughly about $2.05.
It is now.
So it costs the people, you know, like $16 plus to come in town.
Mm-hmm.
And what that has done is that's created, I think, alleviated some of the traffic, not all the traffic. But what it has meant is that they've taken the money that they've been able to get from the new charges, and they put it into bus service. So they now have more bus service. And it used to be in the old days, you know, you could get on these beautiful double-decker buses, but it would just crawl along. It was,
right.
Sometimes it's faster to walk.
Yeah.
But now they can move.
Yeah, I've done that actually on Oxford Street. I have beaten the bus.
Yeah.
On foot.
I'm sure. They've also stepped up the underground,
mm-hmm.
the tube. They now have service every 2 minutes. And what we know, I talked to several, you know, cab drivers, as we did take cabs on three occasions, and I asked them about, you know, whether they thought this congestion pricing was working. And all three of them, interestingly enough, said, no, it's not. They said it hasn't changed a bit, and mm-hmm. but that doesn't fly in what the statistics say, that more people are on the bus, more people are on the underground. So I think that, you know, you have to realize that the downtown London is actually a business and government center, and a lot of people don't live there.
Right.
So it's not, you know, people go there because they have to go there. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's where they work. Or that's
yeah.
where they have meetings. So it's, you know, what it means is that it's a charge. So if you can afford it, it's probably fine. If you can't, then you better figure out another way to get there.
Now, in the People's Republic of Berkeley, you would never impose this kind of congestion pricing, would you?
Well, not really, but, you know, Peter, there's talk of other ways of going about this. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we do live in the San Francisco Bay region, and so when you go to San Francisco, like as an example, you know, you pay to park over there.
Right.
It's, you know, it's like for every 20 minutes, it's like $5 or something.
Well, I actually plugged a meter at lunch today, and I was getting 5 minutes for each quarter.
Yeah.
So it's, a dollar for 20 minutes? It's $3 an hour.
Yeah. So you start thinking, well, you know, do I really want to drive there and pay those kinds of costs?
Mm-hmm.
So parking is a major way of approaching the pricing at a different way of coming about it by
right.
putting it very high to park, pay to
mm-hmm.
park. So people start saying, well, like in my case, when I go to San Francisco, I go on BART, on the Bay Area Rapid Transit District,
mm-hmm.
the train that goes through the tube up to San Francisco, and then I connect up with Muni, which is a bus system there, and a trolley system, or I take a cab. It's cheaper for me to take my car, not park it, leave it at home,
mm-hmm.
go by BART, because I do get a decreased rate because I'm a senior citizen, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I'm around.
Oh, I would think that a mayor of a city like Berkeley would get a free BART pass.
Well, you'd think I would get a chauffeur, right?
Well, no, I wouldn't expect that.
This is Berkeley, that's right. No. Well, we actually, that's interesting you mentioned that. One of the things that we've done in the city of Berkeley is we actually, every employee has a free bus pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cut down on the amount of driving that people do to the city of Berkeley. We did a survey, and we found out that 37% of our 1,600 people who work in the city come alone by themselves in their car. Everybody else, you know, the other 63%, come some other way.
Yeah.
They walk, they bicycle, they carpool, they come on public transportation.
And I saw a spiffy new AC transit bus the other day that said Wi-Fi was available on the bus for our BlackBerry pack and friends.
That's right. We can jump on a bus and, you know, get the latest BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Now in San Francisco, you can make phone calls from some of the stations. You can actually make a connection. So I guess your Wi-Fi would work too.
Yeah. Tom Bates is with us. He's the mayor of Berkeley. He just got back from London. When we continue, I want to talk with you about the project that you saw in Woking, which is a power and heating facility, a centrally located one that could help reduce the emissions of individual furnaces and also just economize. And, well, it sounds like a win-win-win solution all the way around. We'll talk about that as we continue. We'll go to the phones, too, if you'd like to join us. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. We're talking with the mayor of Berkeley, California, Tom Bates, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hey everybody, welcome to Tuesday Afternoon Traffic. Let's give you the very latest. CHP talking about a problem right now. At least they're telling us about it. It is in Aromas Anzar Road at Cole. Actually, they say it's a tree branch. It's hanging on the, hanging on the phone lines above the lane. CHP already on scene. Now, we also have a disabled vehicle. It's Marina, northbound 1 before 12th Street. The right lane partially blocked due to this stall vehicle. Our injury crash we're going to talk about is in Carmel Valley Village. It's on East Carmel Valley Road at Via Contenta and Contenta. And it's an SUV that overturned. CHP on the way to the scene along with the fire department crews and paramedics as well. So we'll keep you advised about that one. Also want to mention that Highway 17, we have a southbound 17 up at the summit, an overturned minivan blocking the right lane.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where it's 22 minutes after the hour. My guest is Tom Bates, the mayor of Berkeley, California. And, Tom, I want to take you back into my personal past a little bit. I grew up along the banks of the Ohio River in Cincinnati. And we actually were in a suburb called Marymount. It was a planned community built in the 1920s. And it had a central power plant. And electricity and heat came from this coal-fired plant that was on the banks of the Little Miami River right next to the railroad tracks. And it was a very efficient way to deliver electricity and heat to this planned community. It was about 8 or 10,000 residents when it was initially opened up. And they ended up closing it down in the 1950s. But it always served as a model for me about a more efficient way to locally produce and generate the utilities that we need. And you visited on this trip to London, the town of Woking, W-O-K-I-N-G. Tell us a little bit about their heat and power plant there and what it does to address the concern over greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah, Peter, I'm happy to. You know, first of all, I think it makes a lot of sense for us to decentralize power as much as possible. You know, if it goes along the, you know, if it's transmitted, there's a huge loss of power. So, you know, you're losing like 25% of the electricity as it moves. So it's not economical. There's all these charges involved. So the extent that you can do it locally and the extent that you can keep it, you know, within the project itself, mm-hmm. you save all of that. And you're also not at the mercy of the foreign oil. You're not at the mercy of the other world events if you can establish your own system. So what they've done in the town of, it's actually pronounced Woking.
Woking, okay.
Yeah. W-O-K-I-N-G, you have it right, but it's a, but what they have done there is they have established a plant where they basically use natural gas and they have a heater, which basically gets things hot, and they create water, hot water, which they then they're able to convert that to cold, and so you have both hot and cold water, and they also have an opportunity to create electricity in some cases. So they actually have tri-generation. And they do it within about, I would say maybe a 6-block area that they're able to generate all the power for all of, like, per hotel, their city buildings, so they provide all the heat, all the air conditioning, cooling, and the electricity for those facilities. And it makes a lot of sense to do that. So we're actually looking at trying to see whether that can happen here in Berkeley. We do have a garage that we have is right across the street from our city hall,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to be—it's not earthquake safe, so we're going to be taking it down. So we're going to at least explore the possibility of putting in that kind of plant there, to provide the heat for our building and several buildings in the area.
And so, one of your fellow mayors on the trip, Mayor Kishimoto of Palo Alto, has a little bit of an advantage. I used to live in Palo Alto,
right.
And they own the utilities there. You buy your water and your electricity from the City of Palo Alto Department of Public Utilities, or I don't remember the exact name, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's a model that I would like to see expanded for the very reasons that you just cited.
It's, you know, Palo Alto, a long time ago, you know, made a decision to municipalize their power and their electricity and water. And they, I didn't actually know it was water, but I knew that it was the power, the electricity.
Yeah, it's Hetch Hetchy water, but it's delivered by the city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a wise decision, it turned out. Over time, their charges are much less than other places, but we're serviced by Pacific Gas and Electric, and we're also serviced by a water district,
East Bay
Municipal Water District,
right,
that provides the water for us.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, Berkeley is actually, in the 70s, actually looked at trying to municipalize the PG&E,
mm-hmm.
and they went to the ballot and they lost.
Yeah.
People, it's very hard to purchase the electrical, equipment that's
right
around. It's usually
mm-hmm.
expensive. And then, but what we are doing, Peter, is we're examining the issue of what we call community choice aggregation, which is the city of Berkeley would join with Oakland, probably Emeryville, and maybe some other cities, mm-hmm. to actually leave the PG&E system, mm-hmm. and be able to purchase our power ourselves.
Okay, just don't go with Enron. Gloria in Sacramento, join us. You're on with Mayor Tom Bates of Berkeley.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I was in London this summer at a teachers' conference and was really impressed by several things. First was the size of the cars. An amazing amount of smart cars. Nobody drives big cars like us.
Yeah, Mini Coopers are all over the place.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The cars are half the size of ours.
Yeah.
I was also impressed with the recycling stores they had in almost every town. They had taken everything from rubber to wood, all these products that had been recycled, and yes, you pay a little bit more for them, but there were stores actually selling this stuff, and everyone I went into was crowded with people.
Mm-hmm. Gloria, I got time for one more. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, what's the impact right now in England? That's one thing I don't know anything about. Has the air pollution gone down? I mean, do we have facts about what impact this has had on us?
I will have to let those questions linger because the clock is relentless and I've got to go right now. Tom Bates, Mayor of Berkeley, thank you for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Great to talk with you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Boomers Collect. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Kathleen Casey Kirschling has become the first baby boomer to apply for Social Security. It looks like the boomers have decided to collect after all. I figured maybe they'd let it slide so we could keep the system solvent without having to make any tough decisions. But no, they've been exercising, they've stopped smoking, and now they want their money.
I think I'm just lucky to be at the top of the boom and really blessed to be able to take my Social Security now.
Yes, because she plans to start collecting next year when she's only 62. Her normal retirement age for full benefits would have been 66, but she can afford to hang it up early because...
Certainly, I have teacher plans, IRAs.
Yeah, so she's in no danger of the train wreck everyone warns about. But not to worry. Her generation is going to step up, do the right thing, make sure the train wreck never happens.
They're going to want to take care of their children and their grandchildren. So by our sheer numbers... And I think our wills, it will happen.
And I'm guessing that since there are 80 million boomers and they vote like crazy, we'll most likely fix it for our kids by raising their retirement age. But we better do it now before they get wise and start voting themselves. They might get ideas like taxing the retirement income of the generation that saddled them with this problem. Or going around to senior centers dropping off that new Hardee's breakfast burrito.
Ham, cheese, sausage, gravy, eggs, everything's great.
Now this.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
When's the last time you replaced your wiper blades? Get ready in advance. Right now, all wiper blades are 25% off.
Never gonna stop the rain by complaining. Because I'm free.
And as always, Advance Auto Parts will install them fast and free. Yeah, free. We're ready in advance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion. From an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
¶¶
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And the question I have is, how much are you like Alberto Gonzalez? Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show every week about this time. We're graced by an appearance from Jason Leopold. He's the investigative reporter at truthout.org, and he's got some editor title, too. And he also published a memoir called News Junkie, right?
That's correct. Yes.
I don't have it in front of me. That's from memory.
I'm a news junkie.
Yes, you are. How you doing today, Jason?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, just gearing up for what will definitely be a pretty big day tomorrow with the confirmation hearing for Michael Mukasey, Judge Michael Mukasey. And we're really going to find out how he intends to not only restore credibility to the Justice Department, but how to clean up the mess that Alberto Gonzalez left behind that also involves Alberto Gonzalez. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Patrick Leahy had indicated he's the Senate
Judiciary Chair.
Committee, yes.
Senator from Vermont.
From Vermont. He had indicated that, you know, confirmation hearings would not be scheduled until, you know, there was some sort of deal that that he could make with the White House to obtain some documents related to the U.S. attorney firings, as well as, you know, matters related to the warrantless surveillance.
And also the missing emails that were, you know, delivered or sent using non-governmental email servers. And, in fact, Melanie Sloan, who will join us at the top of the hour, will notify us that CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, has asked a court in Washington for a temporary restraining order on the White House.
Still won't turn, well, the White House opposed, I believe, their filing of an injunction and still won't turn anything over. So Mukasey has his work cut out for him. He will be asked, you know, pointed questions. I had made a round of calls this morning up until just about, say, an hour ago, just to get an idea of what, you know, Democrats will focus on. And, you know, one thing that there seems to be total agreement on is that the Democrats will certainly ask whether he will follow through with, you know, an investigation into the warrantless surveillance, torture memos, but particularly what everyone seems to be interested in is whether he would, you know, look into the conduct of Alberto Gonzalez, who you know, by the way, it was last week the news came out that he hired a criminal defense attorney.
Right.
So.
And who's paying for that? Do we know?
You know, that's funny. We don't know. I would assume that because it is, and again, I said assume, so that's a cute word,
mm-hmm.
because it's related to the, or at least from what we understand, matters related to the Inspector General's investigation, obviously it still seems like he's on the clock, or related to his work when he was Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that any of it's coming out of his pocket.
Me too. Yeah.
But, you know, Mukasey certainly, you know, seems to have the support of all the Democrats, particularly Leahy, who met privately with him and said that he liked him very much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's my understanding that nobody's willing to go out publicly and say this, that, you know, Mukasey will say all the right things, have all the right answers, and will actually try and come to will actually try to broker some sort of deal in which the Senate and Congress get what they want, and he doesn't have to give up too much or won't give up too much that would put the Bush administration in, particularly the White House, in a position that it doesn't want to be in.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jason, I have to say that I go into this with very low expectations.
Oh, yeah.
and a jaded sensibility. The Democrats in the Senate, even though they only have, narrow control of that House, they
right.
are in control. They set the agenda. They have the right to issue subpoenas, to demand investigations,
right.
to hold up this confirmation hearing until the White House coughs up what they've been asking for almost a year now.
Right.
And yet we see that the Democrats are already prepared to rubber stamp this nomination. They're going to, what I expect tomorrow, and I hope I'm wrong, but we're going to have a series of speeches from senators
yeah.
who use up their allotted time to just BS and bloviate and posture about what they think and how they were offended by Alberto Gonzalez.
Right.
And I bet they don't put a glove on this guy, and they don't really demand answers or commitments from him.
Well, I think that, you make a very good point, and it's important that we keep in mind that there are two... two ways that this will work. I think that there will be a, the public face that the Democrats will put on, which is, what they will display publicly is outrage. Already, though, behind outrage at the former Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez.
Right.
Behind, and I think that it's important for them to, or they believe it's important to, put up some sort of act, in a sense, because up until this point, they certainly seem to, be serious about it. But for several weeks, maybe even a couple of months now, it just doesn't seem genuine. And I think that they'll need to do that. This will be carried wide. It will be broadcast. They'll receive lots of news coverage. So there will be that sort of we're outraged and we want answers. But behind the scenes...
They've already caved.
Right, exactly. Behind the scenes, they've already, given in. And I think that... And I do share your, being skeptical about it, because I think that what we're going to see is, especially what we're used to, is that there is going to be a, Mr. Mukasey, you've got to tackle these issues. And then behind the scenes, it's, nothing's going to get done.
Well, it's like, they're planning to go quail hunting with Dick Cheney, and they're
right.
outfitting themselves, and they're saying, well, I won't need any ammo.
Right.
Don't need these subpoenas. Don't need the Rove issue. Don't need the Gonzalez issues.
Right, right.
I'll just let him shoot me in the face. What
yeah.
the hell?
Yeah. And certainly that, that has absolutely... been the case, especially in the past couple of weeks. The Democrats, just the fact that they're holding this hearing, the confirmation hearing, once again shows that they have not been able to stick by you know, put their money where their mouth is. When they say that they want documents and they're not going to conduct any hearings into a new attorney general until they get that, it's, you know, it's just lip service.
Yeah. And even back to August, before Gonzalez had resigned, Pat Leahy stood there with a purple face and those veins right in his neck were popping out, and he was angry, and the White House was guilty of contempt of Congress, and as soon as we get back into session, you know, we're going to lower the boom on these guys.
Right.
And
right.
Then, you know, they drop Gonzalez. They finally, you know, send him home. They threaten to nominate Ted Olson or another movement conservative.
Right.
And right away, Chuck Schumer says, hey, Judge Mukasey, Rudy Giuliani's best friend, he's from New York, he's a consensus candidate, and if the White House nominates him, Schumer tipped his hand that he'd be inclined to support him.
And it's interesting because the news coverage, you know, what we really haven't, I'm not quite sure how much digging, you know, the people who are reporting or the media outlets that are reporting on Mukasey have done. I've been on other topics, so I, you know, am certainly guilty of, you know, not digging enough into him. But just the fact that the Democrats seem to have, you know, have lent their support to him sort of indicates to people, and certainly we've seen this in the news coverage, that he's a swell guy. And you know, if Patrick Leahy, you know, says so, well, then it must be the case. But, you know, we're at a point right now where we not only need to be, you know, skeptical of Republicans and just, you know, not take their word for anything, but we really now have to treat the Democrats the same way. You know, because time and again, they've really let their constituents down. They've let the public down. And, you know, at this point, there's certainly a difference between the two. You know, Democrats seem to be so disconnected from
And Jason, I will concede that the most egregious confirmations they've permitted are the Supreme Court, Roberts and Alito.
Right.
This is a temporary situation. Mukasey, in a best case being there's a Democrat elected president next year, will only serve a little over a year. He's got so much work to do to repair the damage Gonzalez has done that one can expect that he can't go on any real adventures in trashing the Constitution or further breaking the law.
Right.
But he has a really troubled history.
He does.
After 9/11,
right,
he presided over some of these hearings of immigrants who were rounded up, subject to lengthy detention, without charges, without counsel. Some of them were tortured. And he was a hard ass in virtually every case before him.
Right. And he's written about that in various law journals as well. And, you know, that's one area that, you know, the public has been shortchanged, where they truly don't know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
What we have been treated to is, you know, hey, the Democrats love him, so therefore it must be great. You know, it's like an advertisement.
Well, and they're willing simply because he's not a crony of the president and he's not Gonzalez or somebody who appears to be a lot like him.
Right.
They're willing to give this guy the benefit of many doubts.
Right.
And I think we should get Peter Lance to testify.
Right, because he actually knows quite a bit about him.
Yeah. I mean, going back to the time when he worked in the U.S. Attorney's Office with Giuliani before he became a federal judge. And he was a failure in terms of fighting terrorism.
Yeah.
And Lance has opened it up wide, but, you know, I've heard him on this program. I haven't seen his work much distributed in the mainstream media.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, he's on a topic, and he's reporting on something that's incredibly controversial, but if anyone has some real firsthand knowledge that, you know, that is backed up by documents and just, you know, the public record, it's Peter Lance because of the work he has done with regard to, you know, 9/11, Patrick Fitzgerald,
right,
the
blind
Southern
shake,
District
attorney's
office,
the 93 attack on the World Trade Center,
but again, you know, right now we're at a point where, you know, just looking at the latest reports, you know, Leahy and his office is already saying that, you know, they they see Mukasey sailing through, and in terms of the confirmation hearing, will think you're right, will be treated to you know, very lengthy speeches and statements, but I think that this, you know, should be a sort of a symbolic of the direction that the Democrats will, you know, where they are headed.
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, especially as we get closer to, you know, the next presidential election.
Right.
You know, this is symbolic of what we're going to see down the road. You know, just another area, if I can just, you know, segue into that.
Well, why don't you wait till after the break? Sorry, I've segued into some travel and music here. Jason Leopold is with us from truthout.org. We're talking about the confirmation hearings that start in Washington tomorrow for Bush's proposed new attorney general and the way the Democrats are pretty well prepared to rubber stamp it. You got a question or a comment? Bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Your calls and comments subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com. Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
Let's take a look at traffic and give you the very latest. Let's start off with a problem working right now. It is in, it's still in a row. It's Anzar Road at Coleman, Cole Road, Tree Branch, hanging on the phone line. CHP is on scene. Marina northbound 1412. Right lane partially blocked there. Carmel Valley Village, East Carmel Valley Road at Via Contenta. It's an SUV that overturned. No further details. CHP is on scene. Prunedale, North 101 at Dumbarton Road. We have an accident. Two vehicles and a bus clear to the right shoulder. Traffic still heavy approaching the area. Also want to mention the Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems to report there in either direction. Look for the blue and gold PG&E sticker when buying your compact fluorescent light bulbs. You'll save on the price, and you'll be helping the environment. To find specially marked bulbs, visit pg&e.com/...
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This Madonna song is also available as a ringtone, I'm sure. We continue with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. By the way, Truthout's doing its monthly fundraising drive. You got some extra cash, you can help. Go to truthout.org and click on the D for donate button. Yeah, it's talk radio. You can dance to the Peter B. Collins Show. So, Jason, I want to share with you a comment that came from a listener who didn't get on the air last hour. But as you know, there are a lot of smart people who call this program. And Dave is from the Pinnacles area in San Benito County. And he said, hey, I got a lot of respect for you, but he's referring to me. You keep mentioning the Democrats getting buffaloed. He said they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
And this is something I'm wrestling with right now, because it really does appear that when you add it all up,
right.
No impeachment, it's off the table, and they ridicule the progressives who push for it. The pushback from Barney Frank last week on the LGBT community for trying to hold together and say, don't eliminate protection for transgenders on a measure that we know is going to be vetoed anyway.
Right, right.
And so we have a situation here where the Democrats appear to be turning on their base, trying to wedge us in, take us for granted, and saying, well, you know, we've got bigger fish to fry, bigger fruit to pick. We've got to, you know, broaden things out so that we can have a big win in November of 2008.
Sure.
And I think they're on the verge of a major miscalculation here.
Well, I think that what they're miscalculating, and this is, goes to what I was saying earlier, they're completely disconnected from the public, what the public wants, what the polling says, just regardless of that, of the fact that, whether, someone, checks polls or not. Certainly, with regard to that listener's comment, I think that they do know what they're doing, and I think that much of it is calculated. It does seem to all be in regard to ensuring that there is a bigger majority in both houses, and that Democrats can take the White House. Nancy Pelosi is just a perfect example of her message. Wow. Dramatically changed from 1 year ago.
Yeah.
In terms of really going after them, holding them accountable, and to, only the president can end the war. I can't do anything. Get off my sidewalk. Stop protesting.
Yeah.
They really seem to be throwing in the towel, and I'm not quite sure who they are at this point, really who they're, quote unquote, preaching to, who they're trying to get. And my knee-jerk reaction is that they're really trying to entice those folks that are independent and perhaps undecided, who again, according to statistics, would historically vote in favor or vote Republican.
And Jason, what I'm seeing is that they are telegraphing their own political insecurities and their fear of being pummeled by the right-wing attack machine, the way it took on the 12-year-old Graham Frost and now the mother of a 2-year-old baby with serious health problems over the S-CHIP program. And they're hunkered down.
Right.
And they're hoping that, nobody's going to say anything bad about us, and that the Republicans are just going to implode and deliver a huge victory to the Democrats next November.
Right. I think that they're still under the, again, by the way, the Graham Frost issue with the S-CHIP state mm-hmm. bill is just a good example of how the right-wing machine still it has so much more power than a majority of Democrats.
Sure, it's like one of those big international harvester combines rolling through a field.
Well, again, I think that clearly they believe, and that just saying nothing is better. Just keeping silent, sort of ignoring it,
And just one example, Jason, David Obie, to his credit, he's chair of the Appropriations Committee. He made two very interesting trial balloon proposals. He said, gosh, why don't we get a war tax? If they really want this so badly, they ought to pay for it.
Right.
And then he said, I'm not inclined to write checks for $190 billion just because the White House demands it. And that position is consistent with polling that shows 72% of the American public feels that way.
Right.
And Pelosi dumped on Obie and, you know, basically said he ought to sit down and shut up.
Right. And her concern, once again, she's looking at the, you know, the bigger picture, the whole pie, and that's January 2009. And unfortunately, I believe, and I think that people are incredibly frustrated that she's ignoring the matters at hand
right
in front of us.
And, Jason, the message that comes through is that people like me who think impeachment's reasonable, who thinks that, we really should know about the U.S. attorney scandal and these White House emails, that we're interested in political theater. And that's not the case. I want accountability, and I want to put a stop to the power grabs that have occurred. We started the show off with a Republican, Bruce Fein, from the American Freedom Agenda. They have a 10-point proposal that only Ron Paul has signed on to, including rejecting signing statements.
Yeah. Well, again, I think that the majority of the public wants accountability, you hit it right on the head once again. Fear factor.
Yeah.
They're afraid that, you know, holding them accountable will do damage.
Well, Jason, happy trails watching the hearings tomorrow. If something big happens, give us a call and we will break in.
Next week.
Very good, sir.
And I do have a big story coming out tomorrow, so look for it.
All right, look for it at truthout.org. That's Jason Leopold. Melanie Sloan joins us next to talk about corruption in Washington. John Doolittle from California tops her list. That's coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. MRSA, a staph infection that shrugs off the strongest drugs and medicines arsenal, is killing more Americans than ever. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook reports.
According to the government's first national estimate of this invasive infection, published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, MRSA killed more than 18,000 people in 2005.
So what that means is that it's the equivalent of having a death related to invasive MRSA about every 30 minutes in the U.S. in a year.
Even more unsettling, the study says that MRSA infections, once confined to hospital settings, are now showing up in public places like schools and locker rooms.
Case in point, 17-year-old Ashton Bonds, a senior at Staunton River High School in Virginia. He died yesterday after being hospitalized more than a week. 21 schools in the area will be closed tomorrow for a thorough cleaning. For a second day, top financial officials are sounding an alarm about the housing crisis. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is the latest, saying it's the most significant current risk to the economy. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews is following this story.
This is the most dire warning about the economy in recent memory, and it is coming from both the Treasury Secretary and the Chief of the Federal Reserve. The warning is that despite a strong economy that's growing otherwise, the collapse in housing prices threatens everything.
The National Association of Home Builders says it doesn't expect things to turn around until buyers figure the market has bottomed out, maybe in the second half of next year. Iowa Republicans just confirmed what CBS News reported this morning. Their presidential caucuses have been moved up to January 3rd to stay ahead of the early primaries scheduled in other states.
In the rush to move all of these other dates up, there really was a sense that, well, maybe these traditional early primary caucus states will become irrelevant. They're more relevant, more powerful than ever before.
CBS News correspondent Harry Smith. At least two people were killed this afternoon in a chain reaction collision when a blinding sandstorm came up in the high desert north of Los Angeles. This driver managed to avoid a crash.
I sat in the inside median for seconds, and I just knew I had to start. I had to figure out a way to get out of there because I could hear screeching and crashing. So I just did my best to kind of weave through there. And luckily, I made it out.
It happened not far from the freeway tunnel that was the scene of a fiery truck pileup Friday night. Three people died in that crash, cause still undetermined. Chester Stiles, the man accused of videotaping sex with a three-year-old girl, appears before a Las Vegas judge tomorrow. Stiles was arrested during a traffic stop last night. Jerry Donahue, attorney for the victim's mother, says his client has mixed emotions.
She was quite joyful. However, she immediately followed up with, "Oh my God, look what we're going to have to go through now." And I'm like, "Yeah, I warned you, it could be long and ugly."
The price of oil rose above $87 a barrel today. The Dow lost 71 points. This is CBS News.
I'd never gone through commercial real estate experiences before, and there was a lot I did not understand.
I bring my knowledge, my background, and my experience to the table.
Our realtor was able to really hone in, and that's when we found our space.
Working with my realtor saved me a lot more than money. It saved me time. It saved me aggravation.
Work with a realtor, someone who knows the commercial real estate market and can guide you through the process. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
Definitely a smart business decision to use the realtor.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Attention men, Match.com has too many women. This is not a drill. We created a marketing campaign to attract as many of the most captivating women as possible. Well, it worked. Now we have more on our site than ever in recorded history. The odds are in your favor, and at Match.com, we're willing to bet on them. If you don't find someone special within 6 months, we'll give you 6 months free. So go ahead, it's okay to look. Only at Match.com. See site for details.
For decades, they dominated the music industry, but are record companies becoming obsolete? CBS News correspondent Harley Carnes reports on the latest development.
Madonna, the singer and actress, has a new music deal, but it is not with Warner Music.
This deal between Madonna and Live Nation is absolutely groundbreaking.
Anthony DeCurtis at Rolling Stone magazine. She's not the first to bypass the record label, just the biggest, in a deal said to be worth $120 million over the next 10 years with Live Nation.
I think more and more artists are making less and less money on their record deals and are wondering why they need a separate record company.
Madonna isn't done with Warner yet. She still owes them two albums. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Tiger Woods has all kinds of lucrative endorsement deals, and next year he'll have his own line of sports beverages, Gatorade Tiger. He picked the flavors himself, cherry blend, citrus blend, and grape. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
When's the last time you replaced your wiper blades? Get ready in advance. Right now, all wiper blades are 25% off.
Never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free.
And as always, Advance Auto Parts will install them fast and free. Yeah, free. We're ready in advance.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco.
Watch out.
Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
How would you like to do little and get paid a lot. Well, wouldn't we all? During the news break, I was online here just reading up on the exploits of California's Democratic Assembly Speaker, Fabian Nunez. You heard about his lavish spending from campaign accounts. And now that we learn that Mrs. Nunez, whose given name is Maria Robles, is handsomely benefiting from some of the same interest groups who stand to benefit from legislation carried by Fabian Nunez. And here's a beaut. She's quoted as saying, Fabian and I have this agreement. First of all, we don't see each other very much. When we do, we don't talk business. We just can't. The marriage would never survive. Do you believe that? Well, speaking of Doolittle and benefiting your wife, Melanie Sloan has the latest. She's at CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks for joining us again today. And what's the latest on John and Julie Doolittle? John is the Republican congressman whose district starts in Rockland, just north of Sacramento, and goes all the way to the Oregon border.
Well, there are actually two pieces of news on John Doolittle today.
Right.
The first is that despite the fact that Doolittle said he was going to stop paying his wife by allowing her to collect 15% of every dollar that they brought in campaign contributions, she's actually been paid $45,000 this last quarter, according to his latest FEC report.
Mm-hmm.
So she was paid more than $60,000 from January 1st to June 30th, and so far this year, she's made $105,000, and that's all on campaign contributions. So the Doolittles continue to skim off the top of all of their campaign contributions for their personal pocketbook.
Now, you're the lawyer here, Melanie. Tell me, isn't it in a community property state like California, isn't it essentially construed as lining his own pockets to pay his wife this way?
Sure it is, and there are prohibitions on the personal use of campaign funds, and Julie Doolittle had no experience as a fundraiser and, in fact, raises money only for John Doolittle, so it's very suspicious. We can all be thankful that the Republican Justice Department is on this, and we can expect to see John Doolittle indicted one of these days.
Which one?
I don't know, but it doesn't look far off. And, in fact, it doesn't look far off to the other Republicans in Congress either, because today on the cover of Roll Call, which is the leading Capitol Hill newspaper, there's a story called GOP Leaders Trying to Push Doolittle Out.
Uh-huh.
So they've had it. They've had enough. They gave him up until Labor Day to say on his own he was going to leave, and he didn't do it. And now they're going to start backing some of his opponents, and he's through. They are not going to support him. He's not going to get any money from the Republican National Campaign Committee, and they want him out.
I think it was the Sacramento Bee, but I read online in the last couple of days that one of the reasons the Republican Party has soured on Doolittle is that his total fundraising is down.
Yeah, his total fundraising is down. And interestingly, although he started a legal defense fund, there have been almost no contributions to it. And his colleagues are not contributing to his legal defense fund. And they contribute liberally to most of their colleagues' defense funds. So it appears that they believe that he may well be guilty. I think, frankly, the Republicans are just sick to death of the Jack Abramoff scandal, have had enough, and want everybody associated with it, including John Doolittle, to just go away.
Yeah, but if they asked everybody to go away, there'd be a mass exodus from the Republican Party.
Well, there would be, and there is. I mean, we are, interestingly enough, we are now seeing Don Young, who's been in Congress in Alaska since, I believe, the 1970s. He is now down substantially in an incredibly Republican state. And against an unnamed Democratic opponent, he's down and is now looking like he'll lose. So I think that there are a lot of folks who are just tired of all the scandals in the Republican Party.
Yeah. And when we look at the vulnerability that John Doolittle has to prosecution, are the issues related mostly to his coziness with Abramoff and the fact that Julie Doolittle did some party planning for the Signatures restaurant that Abramoff used to own? And what other criminal potential issues confront the loving Doolittle couple?
It's really all about Jack Abramoff, but it's not just about what Julie Doolittle has done, as John Doolittle likes to claim. But you know, John Doolittle is an allegedly religious Mormon who Mormons are opposed to all gambling, and yet John Doolittle was writing letters on behalf of Jack Abramoff's gambling clients to keep other Indian tribes from getting gambling in order to protect the tribes that had gambling. He also did a lot of work for John Doolittle regarding the Marianas Islands, and I mean, for he did it for Jack Abramoff. So there is, it's not just Julie Doolittle, it's things John, Jack Abramoff asked him to do, things John Doolittle did himself, and I think that the Justice Department seems to be closing in, and it seems to be a pretty big issue.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, another issue the crew is working on, I understand that you filed a temporary restraining order, a TRO, covering the White House documents, mostly emails, that you have been seeking. And the backstory here is that we know that there are some number of emails in the thousands, potentially in the millions.
Definitely in the millions. Even the White House is admitting millions.
Really? That they went back and forth between Republican operatives, and in violation of the Government Records Act, they used Republican National Committee and other off-site servers to send and receive that email, and they're claiming executive privilege over non-governmental materials.
Okay, this actually, you're sort of combining two different issues. And this is because these two scandals have come about at the same time, people are easily confused about them.
Okay.
There are two issues. One is that White House officials have been using non-governmental email accounts, personal email accounts, to communicate in order to avoid the White House servers, in order to avoid preserving emails as required by the Presidential Records Act. That came out during the whole scandal involving White House involvement with the Justice Department regarding the U.S. Attorney scandal. Separately, at the same time, the crew discovered that over 5 million White House email had disappeared between 2003 and 2005, and we learned this thanks to a tip from someone who used to work in the White House.
Oh, okay.
And that these email had disappeared between 2003 and 2005, although the White House Counsel's Office had been given a plan to recover the email, they had refused to do so. Some of it, between 2003 and 2005, the reason this first came out was because they first had to tell Patrick Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor investigating Lewis Scooter Libby, because there were missing emails, and they had been directed to preserve all the emails, and they were missing. So that's how we first learned of this, and there is a big scandal involving these missing emails. In the White House, the Office of Administration is the tech office in the White House, and they're responsible for maintaining all the White House servers. Crew had sent a Freedom of Information Act request to the Office of Administration asking for all details regarding the office's recommendations for how to recover the email. For over 30 years, the Office of Administration had been an agency subject to the Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA. But suddenly, after Crew filed its request, the White House claimed, through the Justice Department, that the Office of Administration was not subject to the FOIA. And even though it had previously said on the White House's own website this was an agency subject to the FOIA, they changed their position, they took that off the website, and they've said, nope, not a FOIA-able agency.
Now, do you think this is part of Dick Cheney's fourth branch of government?
You know, I think it's much like that. Just like Dick Cheney said, the vice president is not, in fact, part of the executive branch. Now the Office of Administration is not an agency in the administration subject to the FOIA.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that we've asked for a temporary restraining order, which is where we've asked for an emergency order from the judge, is there were motions going back and forth in some briefs, and it seemed to us that the Office of Administration was saying they weren't under any obligation to preserve any documents, meaning basically we think that they're destroying documents, and we think they may be destroying these 5 million email. Well, that would really, it's not just a matter of what Crew wants. Those are historical records, and there's something called the Presidential Records Act and the Federal Records Act, both of which require all of these kind of records that are kept by agencies and the White House to be maintained for historical purposes so that generations from now people can look back and understand why things happened the way they did.
Yeah.
And here it is. The White House seems to be destroying those records, not wanting future generations to see them. So tomorrow we're going to be in court asking a judge to issue a temporary restraining order stopping the White House from destroying any records.
Melanie Sloan with us from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. One other item that you're working on relates to perks for members of the United States Senate. And it happens that over the years, twice, I've been on an airplane with senators, and I won't name them to embarrass them, but one's from California and one's from Vermont. And in each case, I saw them waltz onto the plane at the last minute, go directly to first class, and take a seat. And your report here indicates that the Senate wants to build in these perks and prevent any negative implications of ethics violations to enable them to basically book a seat and get on and off the plane without the kind of penalties that you and I pay when we change our reservation.
Well, that's right, and it's actually kind of worse than that, because the Senate and the House both passed all these new ethics rules saying that they couldn't get any gifts at all. But the way senators have interpreted that rule is to say senators routinely will book several flights on a day because they're not sure which one they can make. Now, if you and I wanted to book several flights on a day, we'd have to pay for tickets on each of those flights. We couldn't book several and then pay for only the one we eventually used.
Right.
But that's what senators are doing, and senators have said they need to do that because they're so busy, as if apparently no one else who works in America might also be busy. But in any event, so the Senate, the new gift rules appear to stop that kind of behavior, and because that would be a gift that's not generally available to the general public, and if it's something not generally available to the general public, it qualifies as a gift, which is now banned. Well, the Senate found that that was a troubling interpretation, so they passed a provision to halt that, to stop that, and they're not living with that provision. So, although the House members are, by the way, living with it, the senators are not at the moment. And,
right.
You know, the problem with it really is it's just so hypocritical. Don't tell us all that you're going to pass these really stringent gift rules and then worm out of them with little exceptions, and you think we're all not going to notice and it's going to be okay.
Well, and frankly, a lot of those senators are so filthy rich that I don't have much sympathy for them. Of course, we pay for their tickets anyway.
That's right.
Melanie, thank you very much. And may I suggest a little scotch for that throat?
Thank you. I have a cold.
Okay. I hope you feel better. Thanks for joining us today. Melanie Sloan from CREW, their website, citizensforethics.org. Coming up next, we open up the phone lines to talk with you. My lines are open right now, 888-5-PETER-B. You can talk about anything we've been discussing or bring up a topic of your own. I'll be delighted to hear from you. So join us next in the Free Speech Zone, 888-573-8372 at the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ah!
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrims Way Carmel's only bookstore and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic and let's talk about a major problem. A signaler being reported in Sunol. We're going to go ahead and report this to you. Highway 84 at 680. Looks like a two-vehicle crash. We have a person that may be trapped in a vehicle. Emergency crews have shut down the entire roadway. The northbound 680 ramp to 84 also has been closed as well. Santa Clara, South 101 between Great American Parkway and McKee, very slow traffic. We want to talk about Scotts Valley, or Mountain Charlie Road at Glenwood, two-vehicle crash. Del Monte Force, Holman Highway, that's 68. At Scenic, we have an injury crash, four vehicles. Emergency rescue crews on the way to the scene there. And Prunedale, northbound 101 at Dumbarton Road, two-vehicle crash and a bus clear to the right shoulder. Traffic still heavy approaching the scene. Carmel Valley Road at Via Continetta, we have an SUV that overturned. Emergency crews on scene. For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Dodge.
Hour on my Formica table, impeachment is on the table. Taking your calls in the free speech zone. Brian Urban is answering the phone right now, so you call in. Be nice to him. 888-5 Peter B. Lines available. 888-573-8372. And I recognize that many of you work hard and only get to hear part of this program. You're out there working twice as hard to earn half as much. So I want to take a moment here just to recap the very beginning of our show today when Bruce Fine joined us. He served in the Justice Department under Ronald Reagan. He is a rock-ribbed Republican. He also was the general counsel at the FCC. And while it upset some people, he was one of the team members Ken Starr who initiated and drove through the impeachment of Bill Clinton. He didn't get removed from office, but impeachment was on the table over a sex act then, but it's not on the table now over some of the most egregious offenses to our Constitution that have occurred in the history of this republic. And so Bruce Fine, together with other right-wingers, has formed the American Freedom Agenda. Get the words carefully, AmericanFreedomAgenda.org. And right there on the homepage of the website is a list of the 10 items, a 10-point agenda to restore the roles of Congress and the federal judiciary to prevent abuses of power. They want to prohibit the military commissions. They believe they're kangaroo courts, like I do. They want to prohibit the use of secret evidence in the military or civilian courts. They want to prohibit the detention of American citizens as any kind of an unlawful enemy combatant, which is possible under the Military Commissions Act. They want to restore habeas corpus for alien enemy combatants. They want to prohibit the NSA from intercepting phone conversations, emails, or breaking and entering homes on the president's say-so in violation of federal law. They want the House and the Senate to challenge the Supreme Court the constitutionality of presidential signing statements. I think that's very important. That's been an end run by this administration. They want to stop the executive from invoking the state secrets privilege. We've talked about that many times on this program. They want to prohibit the president from kidnapping, detaining, torturing, and what they call extraordinary rendition. They want to amend the Espionage Act to permit journalists to report on classified national security matters without fear of prosecution. And they want to prohibit the listing of individuals or organizations with a presence in the United States as global terrorists based on secret evidence. Now, this is coming from conservative Republicans who fear for the future of our Constitution and this nation. And they have tried to get both Democratic and Republican candidates for president to sign on to this pledge. Now, a group of Democrats, including Obama, Dodd, Kucinich, Richardson, and Gravel, have agreed to a simpler version a liberal group has put up called the American Freedom Campaign. And the American Freedom Campaign appears to be supporting the American Freedom Agenda on most of these issues. Compare notes at their respective websites. But I think this is a very important initiative, and it's something I support. And I don't care if a nutcase like Bob Barr or a right-winger like Richard Viguerie is behind it. They're right. Of course, they're always on the right, but this time they're actually right, too. Alice in Sacramento, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. Am I coming through?
You're coming through loud and clear, Alice. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a World War II baby. I'm a senior citizen, and that irritates the hell out of me because nobody seems to care about senior citizens, and I'm going to name the issues.
Go ahead.
Social Security. They're not going to be happy till they get rid of it, and they've got people eating out of garbage cans like we did in the 1930s. Medicare. It's getting difficult to find a doctor because they've cut back on the payments so much.
You're right.
Prescription drugs, that's the biggest joke we ever had. It was a bad joke.
It was a gift.
Senior citizens and the taxpayers.
It was a gift to the pharmaceutical companies at your expense.
I know. Age discrimination and employment. It's getting so seniors can't retire. I don't know how the baby boomers are going to, unless they've been saving money up.
You're right.
And nobody protects pensions. We're screwed every way you can think of, and not one of the people running for office, except John Edwards, has paid any attention or cares.
Well,
other senior citizen that doesn't vote, that votes for any of the Republicans, is out of their damn mind. Not only is Social Security trying to get rid of, the cost of living index they had leaves out energy and food. What the hell do we think we spend our money on?
Alice, I love your outrage. Thanks for calling today. And the pension issue is one that I really care about. I can't believe the bankruptcy courts were permitted to discharge United Airlines' obligation to its pensioners. More of your calls coming up next. Grab a line, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
That guy's a nut. Nuts don't fall far from the tree. I say, there's more than one way to skin a cat. You say, meow, that's disgusting. Want to take a real spaceship ride? Saturday, 11 a.m., let's shake the human tree of life and see what falls. I'll prove there's more than one way to skin a cat. Fish. UFOs over Monterey Bay, second edition. New eyewitness stories with your host, Bob Oliver, on 540 KRXA, your radio channel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Peter B. Collins!
It's the Free Speech Zone. We're taking your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. One of the guys who's fighting to keep progressive talk on the airwaves is Aldous Tyler of NonstopRadio.com. Aldous, welcome back to the show today.
Hey, Peter.
How you doing?
Well, things are going along. We currently have a situation that we're really working on in San Diego, and it's kind of a weird situation. The fight started to keep KLSD on 1360 AM down there,
right?
And the interesting thing is that the date for it to flip to sports talk kept going backwards from the 14th of September to October 1st to October 15th. And now November 1st, but it looks like it's absolutely definite because they have also said that they plan at that date to move the Progressive Talk lineup to HD Radio.
Oh, okay.
Which we're not hailing as a win, per se, because, well, let's face it, how many people do you know who own an AM radio?
Just about everybody.
Right. How many people who you know own an HD set?
You know, I'm in the radio game. And the only people I know who have HD radios work at stations that have an HD broadcast.
Exactly. Probably if the listeners right now ask themselves the same questions I just asked you, they probably came up with, again, pretty much everybody for the AM and virtually no one, or maybe one or two, for the HD set, which right there tells you that this is a serious problem. It doesn't matter if the HD signal is really crystal clear and you can hear every time the announcer decides to get too close to the microphone with, you know, absolute clarity. The point is that if no one can hear it because there's no sets out there, that's a serious drop.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, one of the other things I do, I produce a car review feature for radio called Behind the Wheel. And as a result of that, I test drive new vehicles, Aldous. and I have yet to receive a demo car that has an HD radio. Most of them now have satellite radios. That's been kind of trickling in over the last 2 years. But I have not yet had one brand new car made in Detroit or anywhere else that has an HD radio coming from the factory. And the other issue is that the way HD works, the quality of the signal is not so much an issue, but the distance that it covers is determined by the stick that it's on. So, for example, 1360 in San Diego is only a 5,000-watt station. And a 5,000-watt station that far up the dial doesn't broadcast or propagate that great a distance. You know, it's about 50 miles. And so the HD, while it is a higher bandwidth and greater, clarity and quality than a typical AM broadcast, which is fairly narrow in the spectrum, it still can't, broadcast any further than the AM transmitter that it is piggybacking on.
Exactly. And so right now what we're looking at is, basically, as far as I can tell, an effort by Clear Channel San Diego to more or less try to paint themselves as somehow listening to the progressive community in San Diego by offering us this HD radio solution. And I'll tell you, if they really wanted to show, if they wanted to say, you know what, we hear you, we still want to do sports talk on 1360 AM, but we'll put you on a full-power FM. You know, or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
If they did that, then I would believe them. But this HD radio solution is not a solution. It is more of a problem than ever.
Well, and in some ways, it might take the wind out of the sails of the people who you have helped organize. And they've done a beautiful job keeping the campaign positive and not, getting into darkness and sinister types of accusations. But by being able to say, oh, gosh, we didn't kill progressive talk. We just moved it to a new high-tech broadcast platform.
Right. Well, I mean, the same could be said if they decided to take it entirely streaming. And I think you'd have almost just as many cars that could receive it. In other words, virtually none. the point being is that Progressive Talk, one of its main values is the fact that, as I pointed out on other shows, I am right now talking on a cell phone here in Madison, Wisconsin, and all of your listeners are now hearing me across the country where they are by the virtue that they can pick me up on whatever equipment they've got right now.
Yeah.
They don't have to have something as specialized as HD radio to pick me up. I mean, if you happen to be broadcasting off HD, then beautiful. But the point being is on any of the AM stations you're on, they can pick me up in a 70 Dodge Dart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that might be the only thing working in the Dodge Dart. But the point is that they can hear me there.
I want people to go to nonstopradio.com. That's the website for the various efforts that Aldous is spearheading. And you can take a look at the various cities where we once had progressive talk and it's gone, or where we once had two progressive talk stations and now it's been reduced to one. And what is the big picture, Aldous? Progressive talk radio, in terms of the number of stations and markets that we were delivering, peaked at a little over 100, and that was about a year and a half ago, right?
Well, and that's if you count stations that were doing partial progressive talk and partial other programming.
Mm-hmm.
And you can thank Ed Schultz a lot for that. He had a huge amount of stations at one point, and it's diminished somewhat, where they were carrying him but virtually no other progressive talk programming. But point being is that because we peaked at around 100 and we've seen somewhere in the neighborhood of 24 stations gone in the last year and a half, you can say right there, 24% of progressive talk is gone in the space of a year and a half.
Yeah.
That's a tremendous hit. And honestly, when you look at the fact that this is a format that Howard Dean himself, the DNC chair, said just a couple weeks after the 06 election, said that this format was responsible for at least 8, if not more, Democratic congressional wins. I mean, he in his heart believed that to be the fact.
Yeah.
You've got to know that this is a serious problem when it comes to getting the facts out into the campaigns that honestly so often deal in half-truths and evasions. You know, we need to make sure that we have our source out there for getting out what's actually going on.
Aldous Tyler with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Aldous, you have planned a conference to nurture, support, and expand progressive talk radio. And it's going to be held right in your backyard, your actual backyard, by the swimming pool, right, next August?
Well, yeah, you know, we had to kind of clear out the flower bed. but no, in all seriousness, actually right now, and I'm going to make the initial announcement right here, the registration website will be going up this weekend, so don't look for it online yet, but this weekend at nonstopradio.com you'll be able to find more information out on this. But yes, the Nonstop Radio Symposium is going to be happening August 1st to August 3rd, 2008, Alliant Energy Center, Madison, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a whole people already completely confirmed, yourself included.
That's right. I'm looking forward to being there. John Nichols from The Nation, and who also is the editorial writer there at the Capital Times in Madison. We've got him on board. And you told me earlier today that Ed Schultz will be there? Oh, you're breaking up. Don't move your phone.
Can you hear me now?
There you go. You're coming through.
Excellent. Yeah, Big Eddie and Team Fargo are going to be here, and they're actually going to be broadcasting live Friday midday from Alliant Center. We're also going to have the equipment set up so you can do it from on location when you get on over here.
Well, sure. You know, I have not been live in Madison for about 30 years, but it's a real live town. I used to go there to party.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we're definitely going to have to see if the same haunts are still there. Probably.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Aldous, this is great news, and thank you for taking on these projects in various cities around the country. I really like the way you approach it. You understand how the radio business works and how these little minds in radio management work.
Well, and you really, the important thing is the reason why I want to have the symposium is because I think it's very important for everybody to get together, share the ideas that have worked, brainstorm new ones, and basically forge a progressive talk activism community that can support the format into the future.
Yeah, great. All right, Aldous, we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Aldous Tyler, visit the website nonstopradio.com. That's nonstopradio.com. 43 minutes into the hour. My lines are open for you in the free speech zone. Call me with a comment, an opinion, a topic, or maybe a guest idea that you'd like to hear on this program. I'm open to anything. You know the rules here, right? Any subject, any viewpoint, you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines open right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Have you heard that Barack Obama no longer wears an American flag lapel pin? It's something that I support. And Obama has been called on this, and the right wing, particularly talk radio nuts, have been just relentless in claiming that this suggests that he is insufficiently patriotic. And what I believe is that Barack Obama is taking a stand above the false patriotism, the pandering patriotism, the neocon patriotism that we have seen oozing in public display on too many occasions. And Bill Maher, I guess this is from the Real Time show. I can't tell quite. I do watch that show, but I don't recall him using this exact language. But let me just read a few lines from you here. He says, show me a man wearing an American flag pin in his lapel, and I'll show you an a-hole. I'm sure there are exceptions, but in general, people need to remember that lapels aren't for wearing pins to create the illusion you're supporting the troops. They're for wearing ribbons to create the illusion you're helping cure a disease. Last week, we had the first genuine controversy of the presidential campaign, the shocking news that Barack Obama doesn't wear an American flag lapel pin. So apparently he and America are no longer going steady. No lapel pin, Senator? It's like not wearing pants. Why don't you just stab the Statue of Liberty in the eye while bitch-slapping a 9/11 widow? Another in a series of BS non-stories that have zero effect on the troops, the war, or anything in the real world, or as Fox calls it, breaking news. A reporter in Iowa asked Obama why he doesn't wear the pin, and Obama explained that to him, wearing the pin had come to seem like a substitute for true patriotism. Bravo, Senator, says Bill Maher. And then, in another shining example of why the media is part of the problem, ABC's Claire Shipman said, TMI, too much information. All he had to say was, don't judge me by what I wear, move on. He played into the idea that he's not ready for prime time. What schoolgirl, says Maher? Too much information? What is she, 12? This is typical press hypocrisy. They say they want somebody who doesn't give pat political answers, but when they get one, they call him a loser. They say they don't like safe robots like Hillary, but they create conditions where only that species can survive. And they give cover to people like Sean Hannity, who reported on No Pin Gate and then had to call a doctor because his fake outright... Oh, sorry. I can't finish that line. I'll clean it up for you. Because his fake outrage erection lasted longer than 72 hours. Thank you, Bill Maher. I'm still mad at you for dissing the 9/11 truth movement, but, hey, can't win them all. Jake in Eureka, you're on the air. Thanks for calling, Jake.
Hey, Pierre V, how's it going?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I thought I'd pass along another piece of breaking news I heard about Barack Obama. Apparently, Lynn Cheney is insisting that Barack Obama and her husband, Dick Cheney, are eighth cousins.
Well, you know, Brian just told me about that as he was surfing the web here during the show, and that's the first I've heard of it.
Are they trying to destroy Barack Obama? Is that what the Cheneys are up to here? Because any connection to Dick Cheney at all is going to turn you into a loser in American politics.
Oh, Jake, you just reminded me that tonight on PBS, Frontline is devoting its entire hour to an expose of Dick Cheney.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, apparently this is an outstanding show that Frontline's put together about Cheney's quest for the imperial presidency to take it back to what Richard Nixon wanted in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, also on TV tonight on NBC at 8 o'clock is the Matt Lauer interview with Senator Wide Stance from Idaho and his wife. So this should be very interesting.
Well, and Larry Craig is mad at who? Oh, gosh, it's slipping my mind because
Mitt
it's
Romney.
So petty. Mitt Romney, right, for dumping him as soon as he found out about the Minneapolis bathroom incident.
That's right. Well, let's all remember Larry Craig was, in fact, a co-chairman of Mitt Romney's presidential campaign. And according to Larry Craig, Mitt Romney not only ran over him with the bus, he backed up and ran over Larry Craig again.
I love that imagery. And it was, of course, a bus with a very wide track. Thank you, Jake. All right, more of your calls coming up next. Give me a buzz, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. There's room for your call in the next segment. Give me a buzz. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit our website and grab our zippy, updated, upgraded podcasts at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
This Friday night's games at Seaside as Monte Vista entertains the Spartans. 7:10 pregame, 7:30 kickoff.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
How many times have you bumped up against a belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network, right here on KRXA 540 a.m.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at the very latest as you folks make your way home tonight. And let's start off with a little problem still being reported in Prunedale, northbound 101 at Dumbarton Road. Two vehicles crash, plus a bus. Everything's to the right shoulder. Traffic still might be heavy approaching the scene there. Boulder Creek, northbound 236 and Oak Avenue. We do have a power pole and cables down in the roadway. And the reason for that, don't know. But the fire department is actually on scene. They are conducting one-way traffic control as we speak there. Also want to mention Felton Mount Hermon Road at Covenant. It's a crash in the right shoulder, two vehicles. Monterey, northbound 1 at 218, we have a two-vehicle crash. It's apparently in the center divide. Del Monte Forest, Holman Highway, westbound at Scenic. We have a crash there with injuries. Westbound lanes affected. That support brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Show. Thank you, Gnarls Barkley. I know some people think I'm crazy, particularly friends in New York and Washington, D.C. When I raise questions about what really, really, really actually happened on 9/11/01. And I'm one of those people, call me crazy, Bill Maher thinks I'm crazy. I'm one of those people who believes we haven't been told the truth, that the 9/11 Commission was a carefully orchestrated White House whitewash to protect embarrassing and perhaps treasonous behavior from being exposed. And if you think I'm crazy, pick up a book called Debunking 9/11 Debunking by Professor David Ray Griffin, a theologian. Not a dangerous liberal, or at least he never was accused of that before he started publishing books about 9/11. But an interesting email came in just about an hour ago. And you may know about Stephen Jones, who used to teach at Brigham Young University, but he was eased out of that position. I don't know if he was fired or exactly how. But he's a physicist. And he and others have challenged the National Institute for Standards and Technology, which published a 10,000-page report on the destruction of the Twin Towers in Building 7 at the World Trade Center. And recently, NIST has sent a letter to some family members who lost loved ones in the Twin Towers. And in response to challenges about what really happened from Stephen Jones and others, this letter from NIST states, "We are unable to provide a full explanation of the total collapse." Now, the 10,000-page report allegedly did tell us about how the buildings collapsed and pancaked and came down at the rate of a free fall. And the clearest situation that doesn't match the stories we've been told is Building 7. There is simply no adequate explanation for why it came down at 5:20 that afternoon, when there was a fire burning inside the building. But there's never been a case of a building totally collapsing in 10 seconds like that without accelerants, without demolition-type explosives. So this is just another nail in the coffin of the 9/11 Commission and the official stories about 9/11. And I hasten to add, for those of you who think I'm totally bonkers, that I don't know exactly what did happen. I cannot prove in any way, shape, or form that demolition-style explosives were used in Building 1, 2, or 7. What I can tell you with great conviction is that what we've been told and what was underscored by the 9/11 Commission is not the whole truth. It may be built on partial truths, but it's not the full story, it's not the whole truth, and we have not arrived at that point yet. We may never. And we have Democrats who don't have any interest in digging through that rubble once again. But I want to know the truth, because it goes beyond closure for those who lost loved ones on 9/11 in New York. It strikes at the very heart of our free society and our right to know what has occurred. Someday, I hope, we'll reach that point. Peter V. joins us from Salinas. Hey, Peter, you're on the air.
Well, Peter, in 9/11 Press for Truth, the building owner, when asked what happened to Building 7, turns to the camera and with a straight face informs the audience that, well, we decided to pull it.
Yep.
Well, there's how much more honesty can you get than that, Peter?
It's right there, but, you know, we don't hear Larry Silverstein quoted in the 9/11 Commission report. We do not see, for example, the same type of investigative reporters, and I put that in quotes, who trap would-be predators, who use the Internet to try to score with an underage girl or, you know, someone posing as an underage girl. If they put their same efforts into helping us understand and uncover what really happened on 9/11, we'd be a better nation, and they'd have ratings just as good as the catch-a-predator crap does.
Peter, you're confusing news corporations with actual news-producing institutions.
Oh, thank you.
I've got one quick comment. I loved having your guest, Mr. Bruce Fine, on, one of the early guests.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take you, Peter, back to our founding fathers in that wonderful moment after they'd signed the Constitution, where we would appear from the future and show them how far the democracy had come in 200 years with the oath that we were asking our candidates to sign. Now, Peter, I want you to try to imagine Ben Franklin's reaction to this when we inform him that we had traded our liberties and our civility for lapel pins.
Thank you, Peter, and thanks for not calling me Mr. today.
Oh, darn, not till next time.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to do this again tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations, and on that Internet thing, too. Catch the podcast at peterbcollins.com.
Keep smiling until then.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The strongest antibiotics are no match for some bacteria, and Americans are dying at an increasing rate. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Nearly 19,000 Americans a year die from infections caused by an antibiotic-resistant superbug, MRSA, says a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association. More than the number killed by AIDS.
Higher than we anticipated.
The CDC's Dr. Monina Clevens.
The first time that we have actual counts of cases.
While most of these infections spring up in healthcare settings, more and more are occurring outside, she says. A second study reports the emergence of a new strain of antibiotic and vaccine-resistant bacteria that causes ear infections in children. Barry Bagnotto, CBS News, Washington.
Schools have become a breeding ground for these superbugs. 21 schools in the Bedford, Virginia area will be closed tomorrow to be disinfected because a high school senior died of a drug-resistant infection. Again today, the price of oil moved sharply higher, settling in New York at $87.61 a barrel. But Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson says there's a more pressing concern than high energy prices. It's the decline of home prices.
The longer housing prices remain stagnant or fall, the greater the penalty to our future economic growth.
He's urging lenders to help homeowners avoid foreclosure. University of Maryland professor Peter Morici says it's essential to stop the bleeding.
With a refinancing program, we'll have fewer houses for sale. That'll put a floor under the housing market where it should be and restore confidence in the values of people's homes.
Determined to have a say in the presidential race, Iowa Republicans, as reported earlier by CBS News, have rescheduled their caucuses to stay ahead of the states that have moved up their primaries. CBS News political director Steve Chigaris.
Still going to be the first in the nation caucus, but it's going to be way earlier, 2 days after New Year's. It's earlier than ever before, and it just goes to show you that this campaign is probably going to be decided in the first couple months of next year.
Iowa Democrats still have their caucuses scheduled for January 14th, but might make a change if New Hampshire moved its first-in-the-nation primary to the early part of the month. NASA just made the decision. Space Shuttle Discovery will launch next Tuesday as planned. Toyota, which built its reputation on quality, has slipped in the latest auto reliability ratings.
A survey of more than a million auto consumers reveals Toyota's sterling reputation for quality is suffering.
Consumers have had problems.